threat, but there are times, you know, I'll have maybe a police officer who's a friend of mine, and maybe they are in an officer-involved shooting. You still have to tell the story. You still have to give it a fair, balanced explanation of what happened, and that's pretty tough.
What kind of lingo is used in journalism that can be used by an author in a story?
So there are quite a few things that over time I have forgotten are actually lingo. For example, if you're out in the field, you say that you're live. If you're out in the field presenting the story that you worked on all day, you say you're live fronting your story. If it's a full story that you had edited and tracked your voiceover and put all the sound bites together, that's a package. I've taught my mom these things over the years, and she's always so proud. She's like, that was a package, right? If you just have a sound bite, it's called a SOT. The most dreaded thing in a reporter's life is called MOS, which I know is man on the street. And it's basically when you have to go out and just ask people on the street what they think about a topic. Reporters hate it. But yeah, that's called MOS. I think that's the most that's coming to mind right now.
Do you ever start the day thinking this is going to be a story, this is going to be something people want to know about, research it, get those interviews, and then realize there's not actually a story here?
You know, that's actually, just recently that happened to me. I had several people giving me tips that their electric bill was triple what it's ever been. My electric bill is triple what it's ever been. And so I thought, this is going to be a huge story. I'm going to get all the numbers. I did all this research. And I finally talked to REU, and they said, well, look at the temperatures. They're way higher than they've been in the last 4 years. And he was even showing me that the days my usage was higher were these days that we were like 110 degrees. And so I'm like, okay, so this isn't a story. It was just hotter. And I actually went to my boss and said, okay, I've done all this work. It's not a story, though, so I'm going to throw all this out. And she's like, no, because you got your answer, but nobody else got their answer. All those people that are concerned still don't know why. And so that was a big learning moment for me because I thought, oh, this isn't a story. But at the end of the day, I did the story, and all those people came back and said, okay, I get it now. I understand.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to add for authors that they need to know about journalists?
I think if I were writing a journalist, I would not want to write them as this type of beauty queen. Because to me, it's like you're out there, you're sweating. Like, I'll bring heels, but usually I'm in shoes that get muddy and I'm running around all day. And then I try to look presentable by the time I'm on camera. But I think a lot of people write their journalists as people who are very professional looking all the time and you know, poised. And a lot of it, we are in the trenches. I think that's how I think of journalists, but not the general public. So that's something I'd like to add.
So thank you again, Julia, for joining us.
I'd like to end it with, be kind to your local journalist, please.
And write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
A broken window to get a congresspeople. And so they have this big memorial event, and here's Nancy Pelosi introducing the cast of Hamilton for a number. Is there anything more in the bubble than this? First of all, the people who desperately love Hamilton, they all live in blue states. That is not there's not a huge crowd for Hamilton in the red states. I'm not even ripping on the musical right now, although it's not my favorite musical for a variety of reasons. But the people who are just obsessed with it, they are all people who are kind of theater majors living in blue states. So where is the broad popular appeal? It reminds me of 2016 when Hillary Clinton was running for president. And at the Democratic National Convention, they brought forth all of these pop stars to speak precisely to their base, but to no one else. Here was Nancy Pelosi yesterday introducing the cast of Hamilton for some odd reason. I have no idea what this has to do with January 6th, but here we go.
We're privileged to have a contribution from one of the great creative talents of our time, Lin-Manuel Miranda. May his beautiful words be an inspiration to us. Among the words he said and in the music, we'll make it right for you. If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on to you, and we'll give the world to you.
What in the world? Really? I'm supposed to take these people seriously. Really? How am I supposed to take these people seriously? I mean, this would be the equivalent of Republicans holding some sort of commemoration for the BLM riots of 2020 and then bringing out Lee Greenwood to sing God Bless the USA, right? Like this is the kind of stuff that the Democrats listen to in the shower, but I'm not sure what it has to do with January 6th per se, but that's because it's all a big show. That's all this is. It's just a big show. So the first person they brought out was Kamala Harris. I don't know why they keep bringing forth Kamala Harris to speak at these sorts of things. I really don't. She is absolutely awful at this. It is extraordinary how bad she is at this. Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States. And normally you might assume a baseline level of competence for somebody like Kamala Harris. After all, she has been an attorney general of a major state. She was elected senator from a major state, and now she's vice president. But here is the thing. Nope. I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone in American politics fail upward the way that Kamala Harris has failed upward. I mean, to the point where the administration knows she's so bad that they're like, well, maybe we should fail her upward to the Supreme Court just to get rid of her.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
No. I don't think that 20 years from now, if somebody asks, what were you doing on January 6th, 2021? Everybody's like, I know exactly where I was. In fact, if you ask me what I was doing on January 6th, 2021, I was watching TV and watching some of it happen, but I don't actively remember where I was. I think I was at the office for part of the day, but I don't remember. If you ask me exactly what happened when I heard about September 11th, I can tell you exactly to the moment where I was when I heard about September 11th. This one is not on that list. Beyond that, are you really comparing a day on which a couple of hundred idiots went into the Capitol building, some of them with violent intent, some of them just kind of wandering in? Are you really comparing that, a riot in which one person total was killed, like one person was actually killed in the riot? Are you comparing that to December 7, 1941, which not only ended with the death of 2,300 American service members, but also began America's involvement in World War II, which led to hundreds of thousands of deaths, or September 11, 2001, which was the terrorist murder of 3,000 Americans, the destruction of the Twin Towers in New York City, the attack on the Pentagon, the taking down of a plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the initiation of the War on Terror, which involved two major American wars in two different theaters? Is that what we are comparing January 6th to now? Because just on the calendar, that was not probably among the 10 most damaging riots of the last year. Right? Probably there were 10 more damaging riots during 2020 than there were January 6th. There's $1.5 million in damage done total to the Capitol building on January 6th. And one person was killed. There's some 25 people who died in the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020. And $5 billion in uninsured property damage and about $2 billion in insured property damage done during that period. So, no. Okay, but what this is really about is that we have to strengthen the rule of law.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit. My family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
With the gold market at a six-year high, you may have hundreds to thousands of dollars or more hidden away. For over 30 years, the Gold Mart has served the North State with free, honest, no-pressure appraisals of your coins, jewelry, diamonds, or broken gold. Whether you're looking to purchase or sell gold and silver bullion, or you have jewelry, gold, platinum, and diamonds, the Gold Mart is your answer. Open 6 days a week, no appointments necessary. See the business with the reputation of Redding's best gold and silver dealer. The Gold Mart, 1191 Hilltop Drive, Redding, across from Country Kitchen.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is Carl Bott. Join Ted Leidy and me on the last Thursday of each month for North State Now as we discuss things that men talk about. If you ever wanted to hear what men talk about when they're all together, tune in at 6 p.m. the last Thursday of each month and hear politics, hunting, the bourbon of the month, and much more. All of this on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Springtime is the time to buy a new Polaris. During the Polaris Spring Sales event, you can get low financing and rebates up to $1,500 on the world's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs. See your Polaris dealer now. Visit Lee's Polaris, 2230 Larkspur Lane in Reading. Offers valid in U.S. through April 30th, 2019 on new 2015 through 2019 vehicles, subject to credit approval. Offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never drink and ride.
Is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, from the incompetent vice president to the barely sentient president of the United States, we next go to Joe Biden and his take on January 6th. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you've been injured in an accident and need cash now before your case settles, Oasis Financial can help. Last month, Oasis helped over 3,000 people. Why not you? If you have an attorney, dial #250 on your mobile device right now and speak the keyword apply today. It takes just 3 minutes to apply, and once you're approved, get $500 to $100,000 of your settlement in as little as 24 hours with no risk to you. That's right, get $500 to $100,000 within 1 day. If you lose your case, you don't have to pay Oasis back, ever. So dial #250 now and say the keyword apply today. That's #250 and say the keyword apply today.
Better days start today. Get the cash you need with Oasis.
Just dial #250 now and say the keyword apply today. Oasis is currently not providing legal funding in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, North Dakota, or West Virginia.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
With existing clients, I would much rather go to dinner with somebody than do a Zoom call.
But that's with an existing client, but I'm quote prospecting, spending 4 hours with somebody you don't know. Like if somebody called me and said, hey, you want to spend 4 hours with me on a golf course so I can consistently pitch you or get to know you?
Joke would be on them. 4 hours with you golfing is pretty much the worst thing imaginable.
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, and I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Biden, hard to get him animated about anything because, frankly, he's inanimate. But he did get up enough energy to yell and scream at the moon about January 6th. So, President Biden takes to the podium, and most of this speech was just about how bad Trump is. Right? Trump is very bad, and bad is Trump, and Trump is bad. Okay, but that would not in any real way be about January 6th, because January 6th was about more than Trump. Right, the activities that Trump involved himself in from November 4th to January 6th, in which he denied the election, in which he suggested that the election was completely the result of electoral fraud, that he had outright won more votes in places like Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Right, all of that was bad behavior. That was malfeasance. It was not true. Right, there was certainly some electoral fraud because in a country with 155 million voters, there will be some electoral fraud. There was certainly corruption when it came to some of the election rules. Many states embraced rules that were completely out of the box originally because of COVID, but then as it became clear that you could vote without really risking your own health, it was not because of COVID anymore. So when Pennsylvania decided to overrule its own constitution and simply put in place a bunch of full-scale absentee balloting, well, that was a violation of law, even if the Pennsylvania Supreme Court didn't call it that way. But Trump had every opportunity to challenge that stuff in court. He brought some 80 lawsuits. I believe all but one ended up being struck down. Even the one that wasn't struck down ended up being overruled at a certain point. He didn't even make most of the allegations in court that he made publicly. But that's not what Biden is talking about. What Biden is saying is that Trump is responsible for the destruction of democracy. That's on Trump, and mostly it's on everyone who disagrees with Joe Biden. You have to give Joe Biden your full faith because he's standing in the face of a full-scale assault on democracy that continues to this very day. Because here's the thing. Trump left office. He's no longer president. January 6th happened over a year ago. So the notion that we are all just waiting for Joe Biden to save us from the grave threat of Trump, I'm not sure who he's talking to other than his base. But being very, very angry about Trump and then suggesting the entire Republican Party is going to overthrow elections when it was the Republican Party, by the way, that certified the 2020 election. Remember, never forget, it was Mike Pence who certified the election. That was the guy who was the incumbent vice president. It was Senator Mitch McConnell who oversaw the certification of election results. It was Republican secretaries of state like Brad Raffensperger in Georgia and Republican governors in Arizona. Right? It was a bunch of Republican state legislatures that certified these votes. And so we were not close to a coup. We were not close to an overthrow of American democracy. And so that kind of gives the lie to everything that Biden is saying. But Biden has to gin up the outrage. He has to gin up the rage. Because if he does not gin that stuff up, he's got nothing. It is all January 6th or bust for Joe Biden at this point. He's riding at 40% in the approval ratings. And 2022 is going to hit him like a tsunami. So he steps up to the microphone. And he gets animated for the first time in his presidency. This is the first time he has looked alive for at least a year. Joe Biden has been wandering around in a stupefied zombie state as though under the influence of opiates for nearly his entire presidency. He looks as though he's constantly falling asleep, but not yesterday. Yesterday, he actually looked mildly alive. It was strange. He kind of looked like he was – the only time that Joe Biden looks alive is when he can yell about Trump. So that's what he did yesterday. And you're all supposed to give him power and pretend that he's not a bad president because Trump. So he began by suggesting that the January 6th was – a grave assault on democracy that nearly ended the 230-odd-year experiment of the United States, which, of course, is ridiculous and silly on its face.
State the obvious. 1 year ago today, in this sacred place, democracy was attacked, simply attacked. The will of the people was under assault. The Constitution, our Constitution, faced the gravest of threats.
Well, wait, so the gravest of threat was, just to get this straight, a couple of hundred idiots trespassing, yelling, breaking windows, and committing criminal acts against police officers in the Capitol, being cleared out within 3 hours, and then the certification taking place. If our Constitution and our liberty is that fragile, then the problem ain't Donald Trump. The problem is our institutions. But here's the thing, it isn't that fragile. It isn't remotely close to that fragile. There are a bunch of people in the Oval Office who were passing around dumb memos about what Mike Pence could do to stop the election. None of it was true, and so none of it was effectuated. End of story. This was not a grave threat to democracy. You know, there are other countries where there are grave threats to democracy. Those threats usually include things like disbanding the legislature by the executive branch. Those things usually include military occupations of capitals. Those things usually include laws passed by legislatures that grant ultimate power to the executive branch, essentially removing the legislature from the purview of the entire process. Those things include stacking the Supreme Court or getting rid of the Supreme Court. Look at countries all over the world where democracy has fallen. It includes actual changes to institutions. It does not include a couple of hundred rowdies going into a place and being cleared out by the cops. That's called, like, most political events that are bad in the United States. Like, that's been happening for quite a while. Okay, so that, again, that is not to downplay the evils of January 6th or the people who committed crimes. That is not to downplay Trump's lies from November 4th to January 6th and some of the stuff that he says today. What it is to say is that if you are saying that we were, like, this far away from democracy falling in the United States on January 6th, I don't know what to tell you, you're a moron. You're stupid. If you actually believe that we were this close to democracy falling completely on January 6th, that you're a motivated believer or an idiot. You want to believe it, or you're just dumb and you're taken in. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden asks us to take a journey of imagination with him. Yeah, it's frightening. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
And there was a massive battlefront that ranged all the way from, like, Texas to Washington, D.C. So, I mean, I feel like that was worse. But there was one moron carrying a Confederate flag in the Capitol building, so I guess we're all supposed to – I guess that's the same, sort of. By the way, I love that he's like the Capitol – you know, the fact that there was a Confederate flag in the Capitol building, that's never happened – even in the Civil War, until 5 seconds ago, there was a statue of Jefferson Davis in Statuary Hall where he is speaking right now. They removed it last year. They removed it in 2021. Right, so, what? Okay, but it's just that idiot waving the Confederate flag in Statuary Hall. Well, that means that the Republic was this close to falling because of helmet horned guy, because of the Wagnerian opera helmet guy. Again, then he talks about the assaults on police officers, and this kind of stuff really gets my goat. It really does. You can't spend years, literally years, ripping on the police as systemically racist enforcers of the patriarchal institutions of the United States, seeking to criminalize blackness. The new Jim Crow, as Michelle Alexander puts it, you can't say that police all across the country are emissaries of evil, but then when it suits your purposes, they become heroes again. That's not the way any of that crap works. The people who assault police officers across the board should go to jail. I feel that way. Democrats don't. But here is Joe Biden, all of a sudden, a friend of the police.
A crowd that professes their love for law enforcement assaulted those police officers, dragged them, sprayed them, stomped on them. Over 140 police officers were injured.
Can you muster this kind of rage for the 2,000 police officers plus who were injured during the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020? Nope. Can you muster any of that outrage for the police officers who have been wrongly castigated by the press over the course of the last 7 years? Because remember, this really started in 2014 with the Ferguson riots. That's really when this started. So going back years and years and years, the Democrats have been wildly anti-police. The attempt now to retcon this into, oh, we found one event where some people who are allied with the right or felt they were on the right, where those people assaulted police officers, therefore the police are now good. I bring forth the hero police officers. It really is an astonishing thing. It is. Like, they just assume that we have no common sense or memory, that we have, like, the memory of a guppy. He continued along these lines.
Police were assaulted. Lives at risk. The nation's capital under siege. This wasn't a group of tourists. This was an armed insurrection.
Okay, so for there to be an armed insurrection, usually people need to be armed. This is a general rule. They need to be armed, right? In the term armed insurrection, there needs to be both an insurrection and there needs to be people who are armed. So far as I'm aware, there's not been a single criminal charge brought against people who went into the Capitol building. It's not said that people weren't being violent. They were. armed usually implies that you are armed with, you know, like an actual gun, armed with actual dangerous weaponry. I'm not aware that any of the charging documents include a single firearm. If you're going to do an armed insurrection, typically you want to bring a firearm because that's usually the weapon you used in an armed insurrection. Second, an insurrection usually requires an element of planning. Like, if you're going to plan an insurrection, you actually have to plan the insurrection. Typically, it's not just a bunch of people who get pissed off and go into a building and do damage to it. That's not an insurrection. Okay, so if you don't believe that Black Lives Matter burning storefronts in 2020 was an insurrection, then you really should not believe that this was an insurrection. So it was not an armed insurrection. It was a riot. There is a difference. Okay, riots are bad, too. People who riot should go to jail. Armed insurrection is a different thing. When he says armed insurrection, what he means is that his political enemies planned to violate the government. They planned to overthrow the government of the United States. Therefore, I deserve all power. Wartime power. This is something that Democrats routinely invoke. Wartime, there's a war on poverty, war on climate change, right? There's a war on whatever they say, war on income inequality, war on racism. Right? There's always a war. Why? Why do Democrats use that language? I mean, aren't they pacifists? The reason they use the language of war is because during wars, you get to invoke wartime powers. And when you invoke authoritarian powers, you get to do whatever the hell you want. So when you say there's an armed insurrection, the natural consequence of that is I need to be empowered in order to stomp out armed insurrections. I need wartime powers, which is exactly what Joe Biden wants. I have to point out one more thing with regard to his rhetoric on police officers. It really is astonishing. So a little bit later on in the speech, he talks about mourning police officers with Jill in the Capitol Rotunda. And here's what he had to say.
Jill and I have mourned police officers in this Capitol Rotunda not once but twice in the wake of January 6th. Once to honor Officer Brian Sicknick, who lost his life the day after the attack, and a second time to honor Officer Billy Evans, who lost his life defending this Capitol as well.
This is such a peculiar move that he's making right now. This is such a peculiar move. So first, Officer Brian Sicknick was not actually killed at the January 6th riot. Right? Originally, it was reported that he was struck in the head with a fire extinguisher, and then he died as a result of those injuries. That turned out not to be true. It turns out that he died as a result of presumably a heart attack. And he died after January 6th. But put that one aside, because maybe you could make the medical case that the stress of January 6th induced the heart attack or something. The other guy he mentions there, Officer Billy Evans. Billy Evans died as a result of an attack at the Capitol building that had nothing to do with January 6th. So lumping the two of them in as though they are both results of January 6th is crazy. Do you remember the death of Officer Billy Evans? I do. It didn't become a national issue because the way that the media determined whether a crime story is a national issue or not is by determining whether the victimizer is a person with whom they are politically allied in some sense. If the person is a political enemy, it's a national story. If the person could theoretically be conceived of as a political ally, it's not a national story, it's a local crime story. So Sicknick's death was a national story because January 6th was super duper duper terrible, but Officer Billy Evans' death was not a national story. The reason, by the way, that Joe Biden went to the rotunda for Officer Billy Evans specifically is because he wanted to create the presumption that he was going to do this for all officers. It wasn't just officers who died in the line of duty with some relation to his political enemies. But lumping them in together does precisely the reverse. He's now suggesting that Billy Evans died as a result of January 6th. That's not what happened. Here is the actual story. Billy Evans died in April. He died in April of 2021 when he was struck by a car. Who exactly was driving that car? A 25-year-old black nationalist who espoused viewpoints consummate with the Nation of Islam. So, what? Why is he being lumped into this? What does he have to do with January 6th? He doesn't. He has nothing to do with January 6th. But if you can, I mean, they're just willing to do anything. They're willing to lump anyone together they have to do in order to get where they want to go. It really is pretty incredible. Then Joe Biden got to his real point. His real point is that everyone who disagrees with him politically is complicit in January 6th. So he says, sure, there are some courageous men and women in the Republican Party who stood up to Donald Trump. And here's Liz Cheney and here's Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney showed up at the Capitol building yesterday to support his daughter, Liz. And suddenly Democrats love him. And whenever you are being treated with, quote unquote, strange new respect, you should have a second thought. You might think, why are all these people who hate everything about me? They literally made a movie about the evils of Dick Cheney called Vice by Adam McKay, who is one of the most overrated filmmakers in Hollywood.
Well, some courageous men and women in the Republican Party are standing against it, trying to uphold the principle of that party. Too many others are transforming that party into something else. They seem no longer to want to be the party of Lincoln, Eisenhower, Reagan, the Bushes.
Okay, can we stop pretending that these people loved the party of Lincoln, Reagan, Eisenhower, and the Bushes? They hated all those people. I mean, George W. Bush was Bush Hitler. George W. Bush was a warmonger who led us into a Bush lied, people died. Right? I mean, it is so tiresome. It is so tiresome to hear Democrats proclaim the virtues of people they hated until 30 seconds ago when those people became much more convenient to them. And I will say, I'll say this about Dick Cheney or the Bushes. I have a lot of fondness for some of these people from the Bush administration. I do, because I remember defending a lot of their actions during the Bush administration. Okay, but if you spend your entire post-political career saying nothing when Democrats run roughshod across everything that you held dear, and then you can only be found to speak to a camera as soon as something bad happens from the Republican side of the aisle, I have some questions. Consistency, folks. A little bit of consistency. If you couldn't be found anywhere during the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020, if you couldn't be found anywhere during the Russia collusion stuff, if you couldn't be found anywhere while the Democrats are trying to ram through authoritarian COVID measures, you can't be found anywhere defending many of the people who supported you, but you can be dredged up in order to do a January 6th extravaganza on behalf of Nancy Pelosi and the cast of Hamilton, I have some questions about the people you're hanging out with and your priorities. Really, I may agree with some of the stuff that you even say, but I have some real questions about your sense of loyalty to the people who got you where you are. Okay, Joe, put that aside. Joe Biden continues, and then he gets into, again, the double standards here are just, they are mind-boggling. And they're maddening. They're maddening. So Joe Biden starts talking about the higher standards of America that he supposedly holds. And every line here, it's like, buy yourself a mirror, Joe. Please, for the love of God, look in a mirror. Get your party a damned mirror, sir. Here we go.
Are we going to be a nation that accepts political violence as a norm? Are we going to be a nation where we allow partisan election officials to overturn the legally expressed will of the people? Are we going to be a nation that lives not by the light of the truth, but in the shadow of lies? We cannot allow ourselves to be that kind of nation.
Okay, so I have many, many, many questions for the Democratic Party. Are we going to be a nation that accepts political violence as a norm, says Joe Biden? Oh, I don't know. Did your vice president literally attempt to bail out rioters a year ago? I feel like that happened because I was there. That was a year and a half ago. Where were you during the Black Lives Matter riots? Joe Biden accepts political violence as a norm. And honest to God, these people, it's unbelievable. They just are going to 1984 your memories out of existence. They're just going to memory hole all this crap until now, until January 6th. Did you know there had been no acceptance of political violence as a norm? Did you know that didn't exist? It was only Trump. It wasn't Maxine Waters saying you should get up in people's faces or calling the L.A. riots the L.A. uprising in 1993, 1994. It wasn't Democrats poo-pooing massive rioting across the country in 2020 saying it was mostly peaceful. It wasn't Democrats ignoring the violence in Portland that went on for months and months and months. And when Donald Trump sent federal troops in to try and stop that by protecting federal buildings, they called him a fascist. I remember that stuff because I'm not an idiot. I have a functional brain. But some of these people apparently think that they can just get away with saying that the only people who have normed political violence are people on the right. It's crazy. And it's wild. And then he said, are we going to be a nation where we allow partisan election officials to overturn the legally expressed will of, I don't know. Didn't you guys claim that Stacey Abrams is still the governor of Georgia? Aren't you currently engaged in redistricting that is far more beneficial to Democrats than Republican redistricting has been to Republicans? Are we going to be a nation that lives not by the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies? Okay, I have no words for this. From the Biden administration, which lies as a matter of routine, they do it over and Afghanistan was a months-long lie from, don't worry, the government won't collapse, it'll be fine, to, we always knew the government was going to collapse, and it'll still be fine, to, we're not allying in any way with, like, to Al-Qaeda has gone from the country, to, don't worry, our soldiers are safe, to, don't worry, we're evacuating people in the most brilliant evacuation since Dunkirk. All they do is lie. Shadow of lies, my ass. We can't allow ourselves to be that kind of a nation. Too late. You made it happen, Joe Biden. You've been in office since 1831. And then he gets to the same point as Kamala Harris. It just takes him longer to get there. His new point is you have to let us completely rewrite election law in the United States in order to save democracy. We have to wreck democracy by federalizing all election procedure under the auspices of people Joe Biden likes.
Right now, in state after state, new laws are being written, not to protect the vote, but to deny it. Not only to suppress the vote, but to subvert it. Not to strengthen and protect our democracy, but because the former president lost, instead of looking at the election results from 2020 and saying they need new ideas or better ideas to win more votes, the former president and his supporters have decided the only way for them to win is to suppress your vote and subvert our elections. It's wrong. It's undemocratic. And frankly, it's un-American.
Okay, I mean, this is the same shtick that this schmuck was trotting out with regard to the Georgia law, which he called a new form of Jim Crow. So no, I don't believe you. I also don't believe that you care very much about election integrity when you spend literally a year talking about how all of the emergency protocols taken during COVID ought to be made the new normal. We ought to be sending absentee ballots to every household in the nation. We ought to be having Democratic employees engaged in ballot harvesting, going door to door to Democratic registered voters and picking up their ballots. We have to get rid of voter ID everywhere across the country. We have to federalize all election procedures that states have no say in it whatsoever. You know, I don't believe that you care about election integrity. I believe that you want to rig the rules because you do. I mean, the Democrats won't even get together with the Republicans to reform the Electoral Count Act. If you are worried about people, quote unquote, stealing federal elections, the Electoral Count Act, which led to the vagary of some people wrongly believing that the vice president and that the Congress had the ability to throw out state certified votes. If you believe that that's a problem, then there have been a bunch of Republicans, including mainstream right wing Republicans, who have called for a revision of the Electoral Count Act to clarify how that procedure works. You know what Democrats have done? They said, not enough. We're not going to do it. We're not going to revise the Electoral Count Act because you don't care. You don't care. What you really care about is rigging the rules for yourself. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let me ask you a quick question. What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing you did, every minute of the day? And no, I'm not talking about God or Santa Claus. Instead, I'm talking about your internet service provider, which is keeping track of everything you do all the time. Well, not for me. I'm using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers, so your internet provider cannot see or log what you do online. Now, a lot of you might be wondering, well, hold up. If I'm routing all my data through a VPN, doesn't that mean the VPN can see what I'm doing? Well, good question, but many VPNs, which claim to have no log policies, actually do log your data, not ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the only VPN I trust because they use trusted server technology. They were the first major VPN provider to engineer all of their VPN servers to run in RAM, which makes it absolutely impossible for their VPN servers to store any data, including logs of any ExpressVPN customer. And you don't have to take my or ExpressVPN's word for it. ExpressVPN is so confident in their no logs claim, they even had one of the biggest assurance firms, PwC, that's PricewaterhouseCoopers, audit their technology. Stop letting people keep logs of what you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/ben right now. Find out how you can get 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/ben. expressvpn.com/ben to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden informs us that he knows how difficult democracy is, which is why you should just let him stop with all the democracy stuff and let him do what he wants, guys. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com. Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
With existing clients, I would much rather go to dinner with somebody than do a Zoom call.
But that's with an existing client, but I'm, quote, prospecting, spending 4 hours with somebody you don't know. Like if somebody called me and said, hey, you want to spend 4 hours with me on a golf course so I can consistently pitch you or get to know you?
Joe could be on them. 4 hours with you golfing is pretty much the worst thing imaginable.
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the President of the United States, Joe Biden, he says he knows how difficult democracy is, and he is going to stand like a hero at the doorway, preventing the dagger of democracy, the dagger of tyranny from entering the throat of democracy or some such. And then he's going to go to sleep after Matlock, of course.
Believe me.
No.
I know how difficult democracy is.
I don't believe you.
And I'm crystal clear about the threats America faces. But I also know that our darkest days can lead to light and hope. From the death and destruction, as the Vice President referenced in Pearl Harbor, came the triumph over the forces of fascism. From the brutality of Bloody Sunday and the Edmund Pettus Bridge came historic voting rights legislation. So now let's step up. Write the next chapter in American history, where January 6th marks not the end of democracy, but the beginning of a renaissance of liberty and fair play. I did not seek this fight brought to this Capitol 1 year ago today, but I will not shrink from it either. I will stand in this breach. I will defend this nation. I will allow no one to place a dagger at the throat of democracy.
I understand. Okay, so he's really comparing January 6th to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. You mean, you know, like a protest that the literal authorities sicked dogs on people who were protesting a century of Jim Crow? That's the same thing as January 6th? Or comparing it to Pearl Harbor? Because it's just like Pearl Harbor when 2,300 Americans died. Or alternatively, you just want what you want and this is your excuse. My favorite part of this is that Joe Biden was asked after his ridiculous speech about why he had not used Donald Trump's name, right? He kept avoiding Trump's name. He kept saying the former president this and the former president that. His answer is just, it's one for the ages. Here was Joe Biden's answer to that question.
It's not about whether I'm president or she's vice president. It's about the system and about somebody who decides to put himself above everything. And but I did not want to turn it into a contemporary political battle between me and the president. It's way beyond that.
He didn't want to turn it into a contemporary political battle. Really, that is literally the only thing that they are doing yesterday. It's the whole point of the exercise is to turn it into a contemporary political battle. That's why you do a memorial for January 6th. That's why you do all these commemorative editions, CNN specials, and all of this kind of stuff. That's why you do it. The whole point of it is this. You know what the real point of this is? The real point is that non-farm job estimates came in 200,000 jobs below what they were supposed to this month. That's the real story. Okay, the actual Democratic, the December jobs report came in, adding 199,000 jobs against expectations of 422,000 jobs. That's the real story under Joe Biden, not that he's standing preventing the dagger from entering the throat of democracy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. The Supreme Court is considering two major Biden administration efforts to increase the nation's vaccination rate against COVID. Correspondent Mike Hempen has more on the story.
The justices are hearing arguments about whether to allow the administration to enforce a vaccine or testing requirement that applies to large employers and a separate vaccine mandate for most healthcare workers. Legal challenges to the policies from Republican-led states and business groups are in their early stages, but the outcome at the High Court will probably determine the fate of vaccine requirements affecting more than 80 million people. Opponents say the vaccine rules will exacerbate labor shortages and be costly to businesses. Mike Hemp in Washington.
Also at townhall.com, Europe's sky filling up with empty flights that even airlines admit serve no purpose except securing valuable time slots at some of the world's biggest airports. Here's correspondent Jeremy House.
The practice comes as the European Union is committed to being a global leader in combating climate change, and flights are known to be major polluters. Environmentalists, major airlines, and others are calling for the European Union to tweak the rules on airport slots to cut down on empty or near-empty flights. The rules say airlines must use 50% of their landing and takeoff slots if they want to hold on to them, even as the Omicron variant of COVID-19 has put many off flying. Jeremy House reporting.
The administration is handing out an additional $4.5 billion in funds to help low-income Americans cover heating costs during the winter. Cold weather states getting the biggest share. Administration announcing commitments from major utility companies to guarantee no shutoffs. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Paid for by CompleteCar.com.
This is a special alert for all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to the COVID crisis, we are announcing a low-cost extended service plan that's now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay nothing for auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay nothing for auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-959-4526 now. Drivers who are covered by this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair bill again. This auto coverage is at an all-time low, much lower than what dealerships are charging. Additionally, drivers who activate this auto coverage today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and free rental car at no additional cost. Call for your free quick quote today. Call 800-959-4526. 800-959-4526. What do you have to lose? Call 800-959-4526 now.
Visit us on the web at CompleteCar.com.
U.S. employers slowed hiring in December, adding 199,000 jobs as the economy contends with inflation and shortages. Here's Bernie Bennett.
While the unemployment rate fell to 3.9% in December from 4.2% in November, last month's job gain fell far short of projections. Economists expected the U.S. to have added roughly 420,000 jobs last month after several weeks of low unemployment claims and signs of strength from private sector payrolls. The December jobs report likely reflects little of Omicron's full impact on the economy. The two surveys conducted by the Labor Department to compile the employment figures occurred the week of December 12th, well before cases began spiking in major U.S. cities. Bernie Bennett reporting.
U.S. trade deficit surging to near record high, $80.2 billion in November. The November deficit, 19.3% higher than October, which was $67.2 billion. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Authorities are still picking up the pieces and cleaning up following that massive wildfire. And correspondent John Scott says it was very costly.
The wildfire caused $513 million in damage and destroyed 1,084 homes and structures. It was the most destructive wildfire in state history. Boulder County released the new totals after further assessing the suburban area located between Denver and Boulder. Authorities previously estimated that at least 991 homes and other buildings were destroyed. Two people are missing, though officials have found partial human remains at one location. John Scott reporting.
Looking at the Wall Street numbers for today, Dow Industrials off 4 points, closing the week at 36,231. NASDAQ lost 145 at 14,935, and the S&P 500 off 19 at 4677. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I only laugh because we all cry inside. So, as of February 2020, there were 152.5 million jobs in the United States that have been filled. We are still about 3.6 million jobs below February 2020. There's no reason for this. None whatsoever. Everybody should be back at work. Omicron should not be stopping people from working, because for everybody who is vaccinated, it is a mild cold. And for even those who are not unvaccinated, it is significantly less dangerous than Delta. So if you've chosen not to be vaccinated, your business, but you should be working. And if you are vaccinated, you should 100% be working. Okay, but a lot of people are not working. But here's the thing. This data that we're about to talk about, the December data, is before Omicron. The December data was supposed to be boom times for Joe Biden. Nope. Giant fail. So, what exactly happened in December? According to the New York Times, the Joe Biden official rag, quote, "The American economy stumbled in December as the slowdown in hiring continued, even before the labor market faced a new threat from COVID. Employers added 199,000 jobs in December, the Labor Department said on Friday. That was down from 249,000 in November." Now, these are the kinds of job numbers that you saw during like the slow Obama recovery. You know, the slowest recovery in American history. These are those kind of job numbers. The unemployment rate fell to 3.9%. By the way, wages, like year on year, that wage rate continues to increase rapidly because the inflation rate is continuing rapidly, which means the Fed is going to kick in its rate increases in March. Okay, so we are about a month and a half away from the Fed kicking in its rate increases, which will have a pretty dramatic impact on investors. So Joe Biden is about to go into a midterm election with a sagging economy, an approval rating in the high 30s. Good luck to him. He can shout January 6th as much as he damn well pleases. It ain't going to do anything for him. The faltering job growth was especially worrisome because the data released on Friday was collected in mid-December before the pandemic's latest wave, according to the New York Times. Since then, Omicron has ignited a steep rise in new COVID cases, driving up hospitalizations, keeping people home from work, prompting fresh uncertainty among employers. Again, not down south, ain't. Not in my home state of Florida. So I'm in New Jersey right now. And I will tell you, the unemployment rate here is very different from the unemployment rate in some of the places where they just kept on trucking. Economists are bracing for the surge in cases to further disrupt job growth in January and in the coming months, though it is too soon to say how it will affect the labor market in the longer term. I think Omicron will slow hiring in January, said Neela Richardson, chief economist at the payroll processing firm ADP. It might hit in early February as well. The report set the tone heading into a crucial midterm election year and could foretell challenges for Democrats who have struggled to tamp down anxiety about the economy. The seesawing employment situation underscores the economy's continued susceptibility to the pandemic nearly 2 years on. No, this is not about the pandemic. This is about, period, end of story, this is about Joe Biden and Democratic policy. I'm looking right now, as I always do, at the unemployment rates by state. Okay, because, again, states give you a great differential way to study policy. Here are the unemployment rates by state as of November 2021. The best states in terms of unemployment are Nebraska, Utah, Oklahoma, Idaho, Vermont, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Georgia, Montana, Indiana. Okay, all of those states, with the exception of Vermont, are either blue, are either red or purple. And most of them are red. I can keep going with the list. Best states: Wisconsin, Alabama, North Dakota, Minnesota, Arkansas, Virginia, Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, South Carolina, Wyoming, North Carolina, Tennessee, West Virginia, Kentucky, Oregon. Okay, until you get to Oregon, which is like halfway down the list, right? You're not talking about like the 26th best state. Virtually all of those states are red, with the exception of Minnesota. Meanwhile, like Florida's unemployment rate right now is about 4.5%. Meanwhile, down at the bottom of the list, New Jersey, New York, Nevada, California, New Mexico, Hawaii, District of Columbia, Connecticut. Are you noticing a pattern here? Any pattern at all? Any pattern at all? It ain't the pandemic. It's your crappy policies, guys. We're all sort of at the whims of these variants and surges in cases. It's hard to know when they might strike, said Nick Bunker, director of economic research at the Indeed Hiring Lab. Any sort of projections or outlook on the pace of gains over the next year or so is still dependent on the virus. Or not. Unless there is a new variant of the virus that kills tons and tons of people. Nope. Because some of us are acting inside the auspices of the real world. I have to read you this insane thread that I saw today on Twitter, because it is really kind of an amazing, amazing thing. Okay, so there's this person who is a doctor. Okay, his name is Hisham Rana. Here is his thread. Quote, "It happened this morning. SARS-CoV-2 broke through our defenses despite our attempts to thwart it over the past 2 years. My spouse is positive. I am not on rapid test. I ran it twice for both of us, but the results were the same. I retested my nose and throat on two separate tests this evening. I'm still negative. We were both triple vaxxed with Moderna. We received the primary series in mid-January. We were boosted in November. I've worn a mixture of N100, P100, N95 masks for the duration of the pandemic. My wife used N95 and KN95 masks for comfort. We are both trained as healthcare professionals, doctor and dentist, so masking for endless hours does not bother us. The only time we did not wear masks was at home and in our very small bubble of immediate family and close friends. On a handful of occasions, we dined outdoors, but we have eaten in on most days over the past 2 years. Nearly everything we purchase is delivered. Entering stores has been the exception, not the norm, but we were always masked and did not linger. We traveled to the Middle East and South Asia for 2 months during the Delta surge. The door-to-door travel time for the first leg was about 33 hours with a layover in Doha, Qatar. We masked the entire time. The longer flight of the two was more than 16 hours in duration. We were a stone's throw away from Kabul as the United States and other nations frantically evacuated personnel while the country fell back into Taliban control. Local positivity was approaching 35%. We never stopped masking when outside our living space. We were never infected. To be blunt, I was surprised. On our return, we quarantined for 10 days and reintegrated with our bubble after negative PCR tests. This weekend, we were in a red state for a quick trip with some very old friends. Everyone eligible had their vax up to date. We took all precautions. Tested prior, masked, and not eating, drinking in public. We rapid tested during our stay several times, and were always negative. We left the house several times, but wore our masks. We ate out twice, being a red state. All non-pharmaceutical interventions like masking was non-existent. Outdoor dining was an option. My wife had mild symptoms last night, so we tested this morning. The timeline of 3 days post the assumed exposure lines up. No one else, including me from the trip, is positive on rapid test yet. We'll PCR test tomorrow. I'm assuming I will be rapid test positive in the next few days. I had concerns about the trip and dining out, but we rolled the dice multiple times in the past with that issue. Lesson learned, Omicron is different. My worry now is knowing that our local hospitals are so full that if either of us need to be admitted, I don't know how well that will go. We don't want professional. So here is the thing. You crazy sucker. You're triple vaxxed. You're fine. You're going to be fine. You're triple vaxxed. So you went through all of this craziness. Were you masked everywhere? And you were so afraid. Now, like, there's no one in this thread that he says that he or his wife is seriously immunocompromised. So it'd be a different thing if he said my wife has leukemia or something. But he's not saying that. So assuming that they're both baseline healthy adults, I'm just wondering, what is he so damned worried about? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm sorry. Like, we're all supposed to freak the F out every time we get Omicron? Like, really? By the way, he says, so far, so good. Because, of course, so far, so good. So why are you freaking out? Stop freaking out. But we have to freak out. We must. It's the only way. The only way is to freak out. And that is why you're seeing jobs decreases. Because if everybody freaks out, then they don't go to work. And then they all whine about having Omicron. Or you can just go along with your life and never test. Okay? This is the reality. I'm assuming everybody around me has Omicron. Everybody. The only reason, normally, in a medical context that you test for a disease is if it changes the treatment of the disease in some serious way. So, if you're a person who is unvaxxed and you start getting Omicron symptoms, you might want to get a COVID test because maybe you'll need some of the monoclonal antibodies, some of the ones that actually work. Some do, some don't. But if you are a vaxxed person and you get Omicron, I'm not even sure what the purpose of, like, if you get the symptoms, would you go test, like, on a logical level? Would you? Because it doesn't change your course of care at all. It really doesn't. Like, they don't have special things that they're going to give you because you're going to be fine. And again, you're not preventing transmission because vax don't prevent transmission. Right? Everyone has gone crazy. By the way, when I say everybody has gone crazy, how crazy is everybody? Okay, Novak Djokovic is probably the greatest all-time men's tennis player, or he soon will be because he will have won the most majors. Right? So for a while it was Roger Federer, then Rafael Nadal caught up to Federer. I still think Federer is the better player because he's won at least one. He's won multiple times at various different courts. But Djokovic is probably better than both. Just in terms of sort of, you have to take one guy for any tournament, you probably have to take Djokovic. At least at this point in his career. But Djokovic can't break the record on majors until he goes to the Aussie Open and wins, right? So he was expected to do that. Well, he's not vaxxed, but he already had COVID. Right? He already has natural immunity. He was just barred from the Australian Open for not vaxxing. Now, this is ridiculous. It's insane. The reason it's ridiculous and insane, of course, is because everybody is going to get COVID, whether you are vaxxed or whether you are not vaxxed. It is just that transmissible. And it's just that able to target a variety of spike proteins. Okay, but, and so the point of the vaxxes is to keep you from being hospitalized or dying, right? But here is the thing, guys. Novak Djokovic ain't getting hospitalized or dying. He is literally one of the most healthy human beings on planet Earth. He is the top tennis player on planet Earth. If Novak Djokovic dies of COVID, then all of us are dying of COVID. Every single one of us. Because he is the healthiest human. Like, on a list of healthy humans, it goes like Usain Bolt, Novak Djokovic, everyone else. Right? What are you talking about? By the way, it's going to prevent transmission? The latest report from Australia. Yesterday, they had 72,000 diagnosed cases of COVID. What in the world are they talking about? But they're banning Novak Djokovic because we all have to panic. We all have to freak out. Probably, hey, you know, if we bar Novak Djokovic, we'll prevent everybody at the Aussie Open from getting COVID. You're all crazy. Everybody has lost their mind, and that's why you're getting bad economic results. It's that simple. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, his vax mandate is about to be heard at the Supreme Court. We had filed an amicus brief in that particular case. We were the original company to file a lawsuit against the Biden administration in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. All of the cases have now been consolidated in front of the Supreme Court. It is very difficult to explain why the vax mandate should have obtained even with Delta. It is impossible to explain with Omicron. With Omicron, there is no rationale whatsoever. Because again, if the idea is that OSHA has to make a safe workplace for you and that OSHA is going to protect you from the disease, vaccination does not protect you from transmission of the disease. So what you're really talking about is preventing hospitalization and death. OSHA has no mandate to, for example, say that you cannot have fatty foods at your office because we have to prevent you from being hospitalized and dying of obesity. What they can do, theoretically, is prevent the office from being an unsafe, hazardous work environment, right? Asbestos. Theoretically. Now, I don't believe this case because I don't think OSHA has this power, but the case the government is making is that they can also do things to protect you from transmissible disease, which is kind of a bizarre statement because then theoretically they could force everybody to mask for the flu or get the flu vaccine or whatever. But when it came to Delta and the lack of transmissibility of Delta vis-a-vis the vaccine, You could make a very, very weak case. You can make no case with regard to Omicron. I have no idea how they're going to push a vax mandate that does not actually stop transmission inside workplaces. The Supreme Court is going to hear those arguments today. The challengers, states led by Republican officials, businesses, religious groups, and others, according to the New York Times, say Congress has not authorized the measure, adding they are unnecessary and in some ways counterproductive. The administration says workplace safety and healthcare laws give it ample authority to take bold action in the face of a lethal pandemic. The more sweeping of the actions, as we have talked about, would impose a vaccine or testing mandate on more than 84 million workers. The Supreme Court is still closed to the public. The justices will take to the bench to hear the arguments in person. The court will provide a live audio feed on its website. All the justices are fully vaxxed and have received a booster shot as well. And so we'll see how this turns out, but today is a big day because, frankly, if the federal government is allowed to cram down a vax mandate with no rational basis whatsoever, in violation of both the enabling statute of OSHA and the Constitution of the United States' federalist structure, if they're allowed to do that, I don't know what the government can't do at that point. This is why you should head on over to dailywire.com/do not comply and sign our petition against the federal vax mandate. We are arguing or helping to argue in front of the Supreme Court today. By the way, the current global coronavirus cases, current, 300 million. 300 million. We're supposed to freak out about this again. By the way, the New York Times is now admitting, so far, the new Omicron variant appears to produce severe illness in fewer people than previous versions of the virus did. Research indicates COVID vaccines still offer protection against the worst outcomes. Hospitalizations and deaths from COVID are increasing more slowly. Okay, now you have Dr. Fauci suggesting it was time to stop focusing on case counts. This is what he said on Sunday. Now they're saying all the stuff that I've been saying since the beginning of the pandemic. Case counts don't matter. Hospitalizations and deaths do. But that is not stopping these people from freaking out. By the way, compared to last winter's peak, okay, we are now at 250% of last winter's peak in terms of case rate. We're at 42% of the death rate. That means that we have 2.5 times more cases today than we did last winter when we had a massive, massive spike. And we have less than half the number of deaths. So what you all freaked out about? Your individual chance of dying from COVID remain extremely, extremely low. But we're all supposed to freak out again. And the freak out is the point. It is the feature, not the bug. Okay, in just one second, we'll get to the White House seeking to change its policies with regard to COVID. They're starting to realize that they've boxed themselves in. Now they need a way out of the box. We'll get to that in just one moment. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At FinancePal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At FinancePal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized. Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325. Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
With existing clients, I would much rather go to dinner with somebody than do a Zoom call.
But that's with an existing client, but I'm quote prospecting, spending 4 hours with somebody you don't know. Like if somebody called me and said, hey, you want to spend 4 hours with me on a golf course so I can consistently pitch you or get to know you?
Joe could be on them. 4 hours with you golfing is pretty much the worst thing imaginable.
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So even Joe Biden's team is starting to say maybe our policies are the problem here with regard to Omicron. Maybe we have set up expectations we cannot fulfill. Maybe we have panicked people to no apparent end. Maybe we all just need to go back to normal. New York Times today, quote, on the day President Biden was inaugurated, the advisory board of health experts who counseled him during his transition officially ceased to exist. But its members have quietly continued to meet regularly over Zoom, their conversations often turning to frustration with Mr. Biden's coronavirus response. Now, six of these former advisors have gone public with an extraordinary, albeit polite, critique and a plea to be heard. In three opinion articles published on Thursday in the Journal of American Medical Association, they called for Mr. Biden to adopt an entirely new domestic pandemic strategy geared to the new normal of living with the virus indefinitely, not wiping it out. The authors are all big names in American medicine, several, including Dr. Luciana Borio, a former acting chief scientist at the FDA, and Dr. David Michaels, a former head of OSHA, now with George Washington's University School of Public Health, have held high-ranking government positions. Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel constructed Obamacare. Like any White House, Mr. Biden prizes loyalty and prefers to keep differences in-house. In that regard, the articles are an unusual step. The authors say they wrote them partly because they haven't made any headway talking with the White House. Dr. Borio said, quote, from a macro perspective, it feels like we are always fighting yesterday's crisis and not necessarily thinking what needs to be done today to prepare us for what comes next. The authors shared the articles with the White House before they were published. It was unclear whether the administration would adopt any of their suggestions. The White House press secretary told the reporters she had not read the articles and dismissed a question about whether the president was coming around to accept that COVID-19 was here to stay. And so you now have major signs, including Ezekiel Emanuel. All these people are like, they were COVID freakout lunatics last year. They're now all coming around. They're like, oh, you know, maybe we should go back to normal. Maybe this is all crazy and we should stop with this garbage. Maybe. Yeah, but I do not think that their base will allow them to do this. I think that they have gone too far and it's going to be very, very difficult for them to get out of this box of their own making. Dr. Mehmet Oz, who is running for Senate in Pennsylvania, he is in a very hotly contested Senate primary in Pennsylvania with another fellow named Dave McCormick, both interesting, good candidates. Dr. Oz has a piece on Fox News today. It says, on January 20th, 2020, our country changed forever when the CDC confirmed its first case of COVID-19 in the U.S. Exactly 1 year later, Joe Biden took office after campaigning on the promise he was going to shut down the virus. Fast forward to today, as we near the one-year mark of his presidency. It's clear that even though Biden said he would defeat this virus, it's COVID that has defeated him. And it looks like he knows it, too. Where did he go wrong? Joe Biden tried to make the pandemic bend to his politics, picking and choosing when to follow the science and when to follow his far-left radical liberal base. It's gross incompetence that is hurting our economy, our country, leading many people to wonder if we're transitioning from a pandemic to an endemic. We've witnessed President Biden's gross incompetence when developing the testing we need to keep this under control. Biden's own press secretary scoffed at the idea to send free tests to every American just days before the Biden administration announced a plan to mass mail 500 million at-home tests. Now many experts, including me, are worried this effort comes too late. Meandering bureaucrats have slowed our ability to get life-saving therapeutics in the hands of those who needed them. We still don't have enough approved. I've made this argument since the earliest days of the pandemic. Doctors don't just prevent disease. We also need tools and strategies to help patients through breakthroughs of disease. We witnessed shockingly slow evaluations of life-saving drugs that existed prior to the emergence of COVID and could have saved thousands of lives just before Christmas. The FDA approved Pfizer's Paxlovid, an antiviral that is 90% effective in keeping high-risk COVID patients out of hospitals. But the supply available to hospitals is limited. capping the potential benefit of these crucial therapeutics. Pharmacies have no idea when they're even going to receive the drugs. Says Dr. Oz, I'm deeply concerned about President Biden's refusal to make monoclonal antibodies directly available for states to purchase as needed. When it comes to therapeutics, the FDA let its process stand in the way of our patients. But in their handling of vaccines, they're doing the opposite. Recently, reports circulated the FDA is bypassing its own scientific advisors to authorize boosters for kids 12 to 15. This should not be the case. He says, I'm a doctor. My job is to review the data. What I've learned is that one size does not fit all. We should acknowledge natural immunity and do more to help people understand how their cases will impact them as the virus progresses. When you have a 1,000-fold difference between the incidence of infection and complications in older people versus young kids, we have to be brave enough as conservatives, as Republicans, as Americans to talk openly about this before embracing lockdowns. But that's not what Biden can do. He's boxed himself in. Already coming up, we'll get to the media's overweening response to Joe Biden's address on January 6th. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every child is precious. If you care for a child or teenager with a disability and have limited income and resources, they may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. Call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSIKids to learn more. That's ssa.gov/SSIKids. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democrats on January 6th, you had Kamala Harris. She spoke. It was terrible. Yeah, Joe Biden. He spoke. It was terrible. The other Democrats were, I think, even worse. So, Nancy Pelosi, I'm just gonna recapitulate. Nancy Pelosi literally invoked the cast of Hamilton to do a number. It's like watching the worst version of the Oscars ever. And the Oscars is already a terrible version of the Oscars. Here was Nancy Pelosi yesterday invoking Lin-Manuel Miranda, as she pronounced it, and Hamilton in her appeal to the better angels of our nature.
We're privileged to have a contribution from one of the great creative talents of our time, Lin-Manuel Miranda. May his beautiful words be an inspiration to us. Among the words he said and in the music, we'll make it right for you. If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on to you and we'll give the world to you.
Basically, I love Hamilton. I've seen it 27 times. And any excuse to play a number, I will. And next, we'll have a performance of Cats. Memories from Cats. Memories. La la la. La 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 la. Like January 6th, I have a memory. Memory of January 6th.
Who are these people? And why do they run our country? Why? Okay, then Nancy Pelosi held a moment of silence for the police over January 6th. Again, the absolute gall of these people. They were kneeling in culturally appropriating kente cloths for George Floyd to rip America's systemically racist policing like 5 minutes ago. And now it's like, oh, the police are our heroes. Yeah, sure, Nancy.
As I conclude, I want to acknowledge our fallen heroes of that day. U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, U.S. Capitol Police Officer Howard Livingood, Metropolitan Officer Jeffrey Smith, U.S. Capitol Police Officer Billy Evans of a later assault. Now I ask all members to rise for a moment of silence in their memory.
So I'm just, again, it's bizarre to me that they keep lumping in Billy Evans with the rest of this. Like, how about the other police officers who were killed over the course of the last year by criminals? Like, any of those people relevant? Because any, like, at all? Okay, it wasn't just Nancy Pelosi doing this routine. It was also Chuck Schumer. So here's Chuck Schumer. All these people are so cynical. Again, it's amazing. Every time I think I'm cynical enough about politics, there are like three levels of cynicism I have not yet delved into. Here is Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, only because Donald Trump decided to intervene in that Georgia election. Otherwise, he'd be the Minority Leader. He'll soon be the Minority Leader again. Here is Chuck Schumer talking about encouraging political violence and how bad that is, from the party with a vice president who encouraged bailing out rioters a year and a half ago.
If lying about results of an election is acceptable, if instigating a mob against the government is considered permissible, if encouraging political violence becomes the norm, it will be open season on this grand democracy, this noble experiment, and everything will be up for grabs by whoever has the biggest clubs, the sharpest spears, the most effective lies.
How about those who have the most institutional support? If political violence becomes normed, what about, like, who has the most institutional support? That would seem to be the people who are the most dangerous at that point. Because it seems to me that the January 6th rioters are all in jail, And the Black Lives Matter rioters were supported by some $24 billion in equity-based donations from major American corporations, Black Lives Matter stickers on every Democratic car, and the Speaker of the House and the presidential candidate of the United States expressing support for the cause. So it seems like one of these things has some support, and one of these things does not have a lot of institutional support, I notice. Okay, and then we also had the stories of fears for their lives and the grave danger that the Congress people were in. Now, listen, I understand fearing for your life when there are people running through the halls of Congress banging for you. I get it. I believe it or not, I've actually been in some somewhat similar situations. I remember when I was speaking at Cal State Los Angeles, and they just shut down the speech, and we had to be rushed out the back doors, and the police were telling us we had to rush this way because there were rioters out front, et cetera, et cetera. It ain't pleasant. It ain't pleasant. But the sort of, I was in the midst of battle, Brian Williams, helicopter flight, and a missile came at me, this kind of stuff, like, it seems somewhat overwrought. I'm not going to doubt the subjective authenticity of how people felt at the time. I'm just going to say that we never hear these kind of testimonies from the people who were present or actually shot at a congressional baseball shooting, like a few years ago. It's funny. Somebody had a great response on Twitter. Somebody was saying, you know, the congressional baseball shooting was national news for like a day. And Maggie Haberman from the New York Times, she said, well, I remember it getting a lot of play. And somebody asked her, okay, what was the date? Right? Do you remember the date of the congressional baseball shooting? Neither do I. But you remember January 6th as January 6th. Why? Because the media made it a meme. And that meme got stuck in your mind. Because the media decides what is national news and what is not. In fact, you're more likely to remember the date of George Floyd's death than you are likely to remember the congressional baseball shooting date. You are. That is because of media coverage. Okay, so I'm not, again, doubting that Pramila Jayapal, the representative from Washington, feared for her life. I am doubting why it is that the media only cover some congresspeople fearing for their lives, others who get nearly shot to death like Steve Scalise. Like, when was the last time you talked about that in left-wing media? Really? I mean, that guy almost died, and he was the only one who was shot. Okay, here was Pramila Jayapal.
I replay how I made plans to use my gas mask and my cane, newly at my side from a five-week-old knee replacement surgery, to fight back if attacked. And I remember not knowing if I would make it out of our seat of democracy alive or if our democracy itself would survive.
So, yeah, again, we're just going to do this. On the best headline yesterday, courtesy of the Babylon Bee, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez leaves flowers at her own grave in commemoration of January 6th, because you remember that she told a rather wild story about how she wasn't in the Capitol building. She was in the Capitol complex, like in a different building. She talked about how she was hiding under her desk, and she rushed into another representative, Katie Porter's office, and she was looking for her running shoes. And Katie Porter said to one of her assistants, like, give her your running shoes. So AOC was like, okay, give me your running shoes. I might have to run away in case they try to rape me or something. And Katie Porter was sitting there, like, having a cup of coffee, being all... Yeah, man. All right, we'll get to the media response to the January 6th commemorative events, the most important events in American history, in just 1 second. First, you are spending too much money on gas. I'm spending too much money on gas. We're all spending too much money on gas because of the inflation in the price of gas. Well, I'm now thrilled to announce an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download that free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code Shapiro. Get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Do not pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code Shapiro. Get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your very first tank of gas. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. There's no catch. The cash back gets added directly to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download that free Get Upside app. Use promo code Shapiro to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your very first tank of gas. That is promo code Shapiro. Go check them out right now. Get that free Get Upside app at the App Store and use promo code Shapiro. Okay, so Joe Biden, of course, gave the most ballyhooed speech. The media loved it because this is what they have been, focusing in on, like laser beams. Where is the Joe Biden who's running against Donald Trump? And the answer is he's been busy being a bad president. Donald Trump is no longer on the ballot. But now the media goes back to the romance with Joe Biden they experienced during 2020, when the opponent was not the economy or COVID, when the opponent was somebody they hated, Donald Trump. So here is Chuck Todd talking about the wonders of the unifying nature of Joe Biden's speech.
And I'll tell you this, if you think that speech was partisan, then you believe the former president's lies. It's only a partisan speech if you think there's somehow a truthful dispute here. If you're pro-democracy and pro-America, it is hard to look at that speech and say, oh, it's politically skewed.
Well, what if I don't believe that Trump won the election, but also I think that Biden's comments were egregious and politically skewed? Because they were. Because the media are trying to create a false binary around what you think of January 6th. You see this in some of the polling data. So some of the polling options offered are things like no big deal, and also worst insurrectionary act since the Civil War. Pick. And then they're like, oh my God, 70% of Republicans say it's no big deal. What if you just offered them the poll option that it was a riot that got, that it was a rally, a protest that got out of control? Right? Well, the answer is that most Americans say it was a protest that got out of control, because that is the accurate suggestion as to what happened on January 6th, that it was in fact a protest that got out of, control. Okay. It was not in fact a violent insurrection. Okay, it was a violent riot. Okay, but that is a protest that got out of control in the same way that a BLM riot is a riot. But they downplay the results. Like it's wild that they downplay the results. And they avoid, again, any option in the polls that allows you to actually properly assess what happened on January 6th. Okay, meanwhile, John Avalon, and I mean, just the sort of gushing here is insane. John Avalon from CNN, he says this was a speech for the history books. It's not a speech for the history books. 3 days from now, you're not going to remember a single thing Joe Biden said. Seriously, can you remember anything that Joe Biden has said over the last 2 years? Name a speech that you thought was historic from Joe Biden. Anyone? Bueller? Most speeches that people gush over are forgotten about within like 5 minutes. Here is John Avalon saying this is a historic speech. We're all going to remember it. What did he say again?
What do you make of this president delivering this speech in the context of what he said his goal was in coming to office?
This was a speech for the history books, and you're right. I listen to speeches as a former speechwriter and as someone who writes books about political history. And here was Biden in Statuary Hall laying down a very strong marker with a very strong speech.
So strong. Strength filled with strength and then more strength on top of it, and so much unbelievable strength that it'll just make your head spin with strength. Wow. It was a strong statement with a strong Or alternatively, it was just Joe Biden being politically opportunistic. Okay, then. Dick Cheney arrived in the Capitol Rotunda. Now, let's be straight about this. The left hates Dick Cheney. Hates Dick Cheney. They think Dick Cheney is the font of all evil. They think that Dick Cheney murdered hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. They think that Dick Cheney helped lie about WMD. They think Dick Cheney is a brutal warmonger and that he's a right-wing radical, despite the fact that he and Donald Rumsfeld were both involved in the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission back in the 1970s and helped install a bunch of pieces of large government back during the Nixon administration. But Dick Cheney was always the most evil man inside the Bush administration, right? He was Darth Vader. He was the power behind the throne. He was the puppet master. Well, now he's back. And the reason he's back is because Liz Cheney has taken a very strong stand on January 6th. She voted in favor of Trump's impeachment over it. And now she's decided to be on the Democrats' January 6th commission, which, again, if you were going to have a commission on January 6th, theoretically what it should be about is the failures of security. Why did those happen? How can we prevent that in the future? Instead, it has become a quasi-criminal investigation in the absence of criminal charges. Now, you do have an actual criminal process that could play out with regard to how people acted, but that's not what that is for. Typically, when Congress involves itself in investigations, it's because they're seeking background on future legislation or congressional procedures that can prevent ills in the future. That's really not what. Anyway, put that aside. Dick Cheney shows up. He hasn't shown up for years. Right? He's been completely absent from the public scene. But now he shows up to back Liz. And now he receives the strange new respect. Why? Because the left is very happy with anybody who gives them what they want. Here is Dick Cheney yesterday.
He told me that he is deeply disappointed in the Republican leadership. Those are his exact words. He said, I am deeply disappointed in the Republican leadership. And he was specifically talking about how they have handled the events of January 6th and the aftermath and what he described as a failure to defend the Constitution.
Okay, I just wonder, why exactly do you guys love Dick Cheney now? Oh, I know the answer to this one. I know it. I know the answer to this one. Okay, so what's the actual agenda here? It's pretty obvious what the actual agenda here is. The actual agenda is to cudgel everybody into not supporting Republicans for 2022. The same day, January 6th, that all this was happening, the New York Times ran the following piece from Alan Rappaport, Madeline Ngo, and Kate Kelly. Quote, corporations donated millions to lawmakers who voted to overturn election results. This is the real agenda. The real agenda, because it's always agenda, the agenda is get corporations to stop spending money on behalf of causes that they actually like if those causes are being promoted by people who voted against certification of the January 6th certification process. According to the New York Times, at its annual summit on the state of American business last January, officials from the Chamber of Commerce expressed disgust at the siege of the Capitol that had unfolded days earlier and declared that lawmakers who discredited the 2020 election would no longer receive the organization's financial backing. There are some members who, by their actions, will have forfeited the support of the Chamber of Commerce, period, full stop, said Neil Bradley, the executive vice president. This, of course, pleased the left to no end, because now this was actually having an impact on future elections. Less than 2 months later, the nation's biggest lobbying group reversed course. Ashley Rich Stephenson wrote, quote, "We do not believe it is appropriate to judge members of Congress solely based on the votes of the electoral certification." Well, I mean, that makes some sense, given the fact that, again, you are now faced in a congressional race between, let's say, AOC and a candidate who doesn't want to nationalize all business, and that candidate who didn't want to nationalize all business voted against certification. You may think that it was dumb to vote against certification. I think it was wrong to vote against certification. But that doesn't mean that you should now have to cut off your nose to spite your face by avoiding a race that has a major impact on your business, of course. But that's the goal of the New York Times. The goal of the New York Times is to drive a wedge between business and Republicans. Quote, "In the years since the riot at the Capitol, many corporate giants and trade groups have moved from making stern statements about the sanctity of democracy to reopening the financial spigot for lawmakers who undermined the election. Millions of dollars in donations continue to flow to what watchdog groups deride as the Sedition Caucus, highlighting how quickly political realities shift in Washington." Okay, well, I noticed that there were some Democrats who voted against the 2016 certification of the election, and there are some people who give to them still. They don't get written up in the New York Times. In the last year, 717 companies and industry groups gave more than $18 million to 143 of those lawmakers. Now, notice again, I'm going to show you this contrast, okay? 717 companies and industry groups gave $18 million to 143 lawmakers. Okay, so $18 million divided by 143 is approximately $125,000 per person. Okay, so these are not huge amounts of money, politically speaking. Okay, each one of those lawmakers would have received, on average, maybe 125 grand. The corporate world gave Black Lives Matter causes in 2020, 2021, according to the New York Times and Thomas Edsel, $24.3 billion. $24.3 billion. Okay, that means that the amount that was spent by corporations on candidates who voted against certification, that amount was not only dwarfed by corporate giving to BLM causes, it was off by a factor of 1,350. Corporations gave 1,350 times more money to BLM than they gave to these congressional candidates. But we got to make sure that these corporations don't give any money to these candidates anymore. That's got to stop, man. That really has to stop. This journ activism is very clear. I mean, it is absolutely clear what they're doing with this sort of journalist activism. Drive that wedge, drive that wedge. Either force companies to support the left openly or force them not to give at all. So corporate executives, and what's hilarious about all this is that so many of these corporate executives are stupid enough that they will start listening to the New York Times or their woke employees. If you do those things, you shouldn't be the head of a corporation, frankly, or your corporation deserves to go down in flames. Because you suck at your job. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to Mitch McConnell's response to January 6th. We'll also get to Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida's response, which is right on the money. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Once again, it's Talkorama with Maria Donna. Be sure to join me Fridays right here on KCNR. Throughout the week, I hit the streets and ask residents how they feel about what's really happening in our community, in our state, country, or world. Let your voice be heard on KCNR.
Cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
With existing clients, I would much rather go to dinner with somebody than do a Zoom call.
But that's with an existing client, but I'm quote prospecting, spending 4 hours with somebody you don't know. Like if somebody called me and said, hey, you want to spend 4 hours with me on a golf course so I can consistently pitch you or get to know you?
Joke would be on them. 4 hours with you golfing is pretty much the worst thing imaginable.
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Mitch McConnell put out a statement over the Democrats' overwrought January 6th stuff. His statement is right on the money. His statement happens to be correct. He said January 6th, 2021 was a dark day for Congress and our country. The U.S. Capitol, the seat of the first branch of our federal government, was stormed by criminals who brutalized police officers and used force to try to stop Congress from doing its job. This disgraceful scene was antithetical to the rule of law. 1 year later, I am as grateful as ever for the brave men and women of the U.S. Capitol Police who served our institution bravely that day and every day since. I continue to support justice for those who broke the law. As I said yesterday, it has been stunning to see some Washington Democrats try to exploit this anniversary to advance partisan policy goals that long predated this event. It is especially jaw-dropping to hear some Senate Democrats invoke the mob's attempt to disrupt our country's norms, rules, and institutions as a justification to discard our norms, rules, and institutions. A year ago today, the Senate did not bend or break. We stuck together, stood strong, gaveled back in, did our job. Senators should not be trying to exploit this anniversary to damage the Senate in a different way from within. He, of course, is correct. But no, the whole point here is that the left has a goal and the media will repeat the goal. Okay, meanwhile, here is Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, best governor in America, my governor, from my great home state of Florida, coming out and just blasting the entire charade.
Today is going to be... I mean, honestly, I'm not going to watch any of it, but you're going to see the D.C. New York media. I mean, this is their Christmas, January 6th, okay? They are going to take this and milk this for anything they could to try to be able to smear anyone who ever supported Donald Trump. And I just look back and compare when I was in Congress, what event that we faced was the attempted assassination of Republican members of Congress on the baseball game.
Of course, Ron DeSantis is exactly right about this. He suggested basically this is Christmas for Democrats, because it was. I mean, that's all this was. It was just a politically motivated act. It was an extravaganza. It was a bonanza. It was them celebrating themselves, because after all, this is something that we can seize upon. So, yeah. Is that going to have any impact on the election 2022, by the way? No. Seriously, how many people believe, truly believe, that January 6th is going to be a decisive factor in 2022? Now, if Trump runs in 2024, you're going to get a lot of January 6th talk. If Trump runs again in 2024, we're going to rehash all of this, mainly because Donald Trump likes talking about it, right? Trump will just go right for it. He'll be like, yep, the election was stolen. It's January 6th rioters just took it a little too far, but they were right. You know, we'll get the whole thing. But 2022, we're not going to get that. 2022, what we're going to get is Democrats trying to argue against a bad economy of their own making. We're going to get Democrats trying to argue against their own COVID policies and suggest that Republicans would do worse on that, despite the pretty clear evidence that Republican states have all done better than Democrats have, certainly when it comes to freedom and employment. 2022 is shaping up to be a very, very, very bad year for Democrats. And right now, if I had to ballpark this thing, I think the Republicans hold the seat in Pennsylvania. I think they hold the seat in Ohio. I think they take the seat in Georgia. I think Republicans end up like plus two, maybe plus three in the Senate. And I think it's a complete wipeout for the Democrats in the House. That's if you have to ballpark this thing right now. Things could change, but it would be pretty rare for a party running this far behind, as Democrats are in 2022, to suddenly turn it around and pick it back up. All righty. We'll be back here next week with much, much more. Meanwhile, keep your eyes on the Supreme Court. There is currently going on a hearing at the Supreme Court over the federal vax mandate. We are participants in that case. Please go sign our petition at dailywire.com/do not comply. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Have a wonderful weekend.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Three white men who chased and killed Ahmaud Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia, have been sentenced to life in prison, with a judge denying any chance of parole for the father and son who armed themselves and initiated the deadly pursuit of the 25-year-old black man. Arbery's father, Marcus Arbery, says the men who killed his son deserve the maximum sentence.
His kids should spend the rest of their lives thinking about what they did and what they took from us. And they should do it from behind bars. Because me and my family, we got to live with his death the rest of our life.
That audio, courtesy of Court TV. Also at townhall.com, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the United States and allies remain focused on Russian aggression, not Moscow's diversionary tactics.
They want to draw us into a debate about NATO, rather than focus on the matter at hand, which is their aggression toward Ukraine. We won't be diverted from that issue.
Blinken adds the United States and allies are rejecting Russia's demand now that NATO not admit any new members. Moscow claims that a promise was made years ago.
NATO never promised not to admit new members. It could not and would not. The open-door policy was a core provision of the 1949 North Atlantic Treaty that founded NATO.
Mexican authorities in Veracruz say nine bodies have been found on a roadside. Police say the violence suggests the crime involved gangs. And a lunchtime explosion at an office cafeteria killing 16 people in China. Authorities say a gas leak likely the cause. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Exergen would like you to know about an important new study by the FDA. It confirms what the medical community has always known. Non-contact thermometers are not accurate, and they fail to meet FDA requirements for accuracy in labeling. With new strains of COVID on the rise, we can't afford to tolerate rampant false temperature readings from non-contact thermometers. Accurate temperature measurements are essential. You need Exergen thermometers because they are accurate and backed by over 100 clinical studies. Be sure. Be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Inflation surging in the 19 countries using the euro as COVID-19 infection rates stay very high in the zone. Correspondent Charles Deledesma reports from London.
Figures show consumer prices in the euro currency nations have soared at a record rate, led by hikes in food and energy costs. According to Eurostat, the EU's statistics office, inflation rose to 5% in December, compared with a year earlier, the highest level in the Eurozone since record-keeping began in 1997, despite the Omicron variant of COVID-19 and its uncertain effects on the global economy. Central banks elsewhere have been raising interest rates to fight soaring inflation or taking steps in that direction. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Well, not everything at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas has been displayed indoors.
Bosch e-bike systems was named a 2022 Innovation Award honoree in the Vehicle Intelligence and Transportation category. There were test rides outside. E-bikes are outpacing cars as the world's best-selling electric vehicle. Steve Boyd with Turn North America says e-bikes can be used for a lot of things.
Some people want to carry cargo, some want to carry one child, some want to carry two, some want to carry it all. And some go a little bit further and a little bit shorter.
Claudia Vasco at Bosch says e-bikes are also good for the environment.
Manufacturing processes consume resources. So by providing a high-quality product, you automatically contribute to sustainability.
Vasco says you don't need to be a seasoned rider to get on an e-bike.
The motto of Bosch, invented for life.
I'm Ed Donahue.
And more on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with a VPN, so should you. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so yesterday was the most important day in American history. It was the first anniversary of January 6th, and it was like Christmas in January for the Democrats. They couldn't really determine whether it was supposed to be a solemn commemoration or a celebration or what exactly it was supposed to be. They just knew it was really, really important. And the reason it was really important is because Joe Biden's poll numbers are in the toilet. And the only reason that Joe Biden was elected in 2020 to begin with is because there were a lot of people who did not like Donald Trump. And so Joe Biden ran on, I'm going to restore the soul of this country. And people were like, okay, that sounds all right. And then he immediately got into office and started pursuing Bernie Sanders' agenda. And his entire popularity, which had been close to 60%, is now all the way down to 40%. So he's trying to revive his flagging presidency by going back to January 6th and just whipping that dead horse as much as he possibly can. And you can tell how much the Democrats are reliant on January 6th, how much they see it as a political opportunity. You can see that by how they treated it. It was sort of how they treated it. You remember there was a senator named Paul Wellstone from Minnesota. This is, I don't know, now 15, 20 years ago. And he died in a plane crash. And there was a big Democratic event for him, a memorial event. And instead of it being a unifying event involving members of both sides of the political aisle, instead Democrats just went to Paul Wellstone's funeral and proceeded to basically throw a political rally. Well, this is pretty much what they did yesterday on January 6th. And here's the dead giveaway. Nancy Pelosi literally had the cast of Hamilton sing a song in the middle of the January 6th, quote-unquote, memorial. Hey, first of all, the January 6th memorial, normally when you have some sort of commemorative memorial, it's because a lot of people died. Right? Typically, you have a 9/11 memorial because 3,000 Americans were killed, or you have a December 7th, 1941 memorial because 2,300 Americans were killed. Typically, when you have a memorial, it's because there was tremendous human suffering involved. The grand total number of people who were killed, Not people who died of associated heart attack or being crushed by a crowd or died later, The number of people who are actively killed on January 6th is one, and it was Ashley Babbitt who was shot by a Capitol Police officer while trying to move through a broken window to get a Congress people. And so they have this big memorial event, and here's Nancy Pelosi introducing the cast of Hamilton for a number. Is there anything more in the bubble than this? First of all, the people who desperately love Hamilton, they all live in blue states. That is not there's not a huge crowd for Hamilton in the red states. I'm not even ripping on the musical right now, although it's not my favorite musical for a variety of reasons. But the people who are just obsessed with it, they are all people who are kind of theater majors living in blue states. So where is the broad popular appeal? It reminds me of 2016 when Hillary Clinton was running for president. And at the Democratic National Convention, they brought forth all of these pop stars to speak precisely to their base, but to no one else. Here was Nancy Pelosi yesterday introducing the cast of Hamilton for some odd reason. I have no idea what this has to do with January 6th, but here we go.
We're privileged to have a contribution from one of the great creative talents of our time, Lin-Manuel Miranda. May his beautiful words be an inspiration to us. Among the words he said and in the music, we'll make it right for you. If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on to you, and we'll give the world to you.
What in the world? Really? I'm supposed to take these people seriously. Really? How am I supposed to take these people seriously? I mean, this would be the equivalent of Republicans holding some sort of commemoration for the BLM riots of 2020, and then bring out Lee Greenwood to sing God Bless the USA, right? Like, this is the kind of stuff that the Democrats listen to in the shower, but I'm not sure what it has to do with January 6th per se, but that's because it's all a big show. That's all this is. It's just a big show. So, the first person they brought out was Kamala Harris. I don't know why they keep bringing forth Kamala Harris to speak at these sorts of things. I really don't. She is absolutely awful at this. It is extraordinary how bad she is at this, Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States. And normally, you might assume a baseline level of competence for somebody like Kamala Harris. After all, she has been an attorney general of a major state. She was elected senator from a major state, and now she's vice president. But here is the thing. Nope. I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone in American politics fail upward the way that Kamala Harris has failed upward. I mean, to the point where the administration knows she's so bad that they're like, well, maybe we should fail her upward to the Supreme Court just to get rid of her.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
No. I don't think that 20 years from now, if somebody asks, what were you doing on January 6th, 2021? Everybody's like, I know exactly where I was. In fact, if you ask me what I was doing on January 6th, 2021, I was watching TV and watching some of it happen, but I don't actively remember where I was. I think I was at the office for part of the day, but I don't remember. If you ask me exactly what happened when I heard about September 11th, I can tell you exactly to the moment where I was when I heard about September 11th. This one is not on that list. Beyond that, are you really comparing a day on which a couple of hundred idiots went into the Capitol building, some of them with violent intent, some of them just kind of wandering in? Are you really comparing that, a riot in which one person total was killed, like in the riot, one person was actually killed in the riot? Are you comparing that to December 7, 1941, which not only ended with the death of 2,300 American service members, but also began America's involvement in World War II, which led to hundreds of thousands of deaths, or September 11, 2001, which was the terrorist murder of 3,000 Americans, the destruction of the Twin Towers in New York City, the attack on the Pentagon, the taking down of a plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the initiation of the War on Terror, which involved two major American wars in two different theaters? Is that what we are comparing January 6th to now? Because just on the calendar, that was not probably among the 10 most damaging riots of the last year. Right? Probably there were 10 more damaging riots during 2020 than there were January 6th. There's $1.5 million in damage done total to the Capitol building on January 6th. And one person who was killed. There's some 25 people who died in the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020. And $5 billion in uninsured property damage and about $2 billion in insured property damage done. during that period. So, no. Okay, but what this is really about is that we have to strengthen the rule of law, strengthen the rule of democracy. Now, this is really galling stuff to hear from some of the exact same people who were literally attempting to bail out rioters in 2020. People who had built a narrative. I know everybody forgets about this stuff, but leading up to the election of 2020, it was not just President Trump who was suggesting that the election was going to be corrupt and there were going to be problems. It was Democrats who were suggesting this also. You'll recall that Louis DeJoy, who was the postmaster general, right, the guy who's in charge of the post office, he was accused of actively removing mailboxes to prevent people from sending in their absentee ballots. This is like a big controversy. And the groundwork had been laid that if Trump had won again, the Democrats would have claimed that that was illegitimate. Because there were riots in 2017 when Trump was inaugurated. On Inauguration Day, 200 people were arrested in 2017. I know we're supposed to pretend that didn't happen. It did. People were burning cars in the middle of Washington, D.C. in 2017. People tried to occupy the steps of the Capitol building, like some of the members of the Women's March. But here is Kamala Harris suddenly in favor of the rule of law. Honestly, it is the hypocrisy here that is so galling. Some of us have said that all lawbreakers should go to prison. Some of us have said that only lawbreakers on their side should go to prison. If you're one of the latter, you don't get to talk about rule of law. You don't. But that's exactly what Kamala Harris does.
You see, the strength of democracy is the rule of law. The strength of democracy is the principle that everyone should be treated equally, that elections should be free and fair, that corruption should be given no quarter. The strength of democracy is that it empowers the people.
I'm sorry, when you say the strength of democracy is the principle that everybody should be treated equally, and your entire administration is built on the principle not of equality of rights, but equity, which is a suggestion that there ought to be equality of outcome, and that any disparity in American life you can chalk up to the failures of our institutions. Like, it's hard for me to buy that we can all come together around a set of principles when I know on a fundamental level you do not believe in those principles. I'm perfectly happy to say and have said many, many times, don't lie about elections, accept election results, you should not break the law, if you violate the law, you should go to jail. Right? This applies across the board. But the fact that I'm saying it applies across the board makes people on the left mad. If I say it applies across the board, like, well, you're doing whataboutism, it's not whataboutism to say that something should apply equally. It's whataboutism for you guys to say that it shouldn't apply to your side. It should only apply to the other side. And here's the point from Kamala Harris. And she's so obvious. She's so bad. My God, she's bad at this. There's a tremendous lack of subtlety. I don't know whether it is just because she's not particularly smart or whether it's because she thinks she's smarter than she is. But whatever it is, Kamala Harris then comes out and she says exactly what she wants, which is give me more power. I want more power. And then somehow she botches the Constitution of the United States. She tries to recite it word for word. It does not go well.
Let's be clear. We must pass voting rights bills that are now before the Senate. And the American people must also do something more. We cannot sit on the sidelines. We must unite in defense of our democracy in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our prosperity and posterity.
Okay, so at the very end there, my favorite part of this is that all she's doing here is just reading the Constitution like a bad third-grade candidate for secretary, for class secretary. That's what she's doing right there. She gets to the end of that, and she's like, we have to pass everything I want you to pass, and now I'm just going to read you the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, except I'm going to completely blow it. At the very end there, we're not securing the blessings of prosperity to ourselves at the end of the Constitution. That's not a thing. It's posterity. She corrects herself, and she almost starts laughing at herself because she knows that she's blown it. Okay, that was all preamble to President Biden. So Kamala Harris's shtick was, I'm here as an empathetic person. I'm here as an empathetic person who wants you to do everything I want you to do. She's like Galadriel from Lord of the Rings. I would be a queen, not a queen of darkness, but a queen of power. It starts off all nice. You're like being nice to Frodo. And then all of a sudden she's like, but a queen. It's quite wonderful. Then they get to old man Biden yelling at clouds. But he was very passionate. He was very angry because the only animating feature of Joe Biden, really deep down, the only reason he is president is because he is not Donald Trump. That is the only reason that he is president of the United States. And it's the only thing that animates him. I mean, this is perfectly obvious, by the way. He has said in open interviews that he doesn't know if he's going to run for president in 2024. He says, I think I will, but I'm a big believer in faith and sometimes health. And, you know, and then David Muir from ABC News is like, what if Trump runs? He's like, well, then you're tempting me. You're dying. Joker grin. You're tempting me. Right, because the only thing that made Joe Biden president was running against Donald Trump. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high, again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more, or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, from the incompetent vice president to the barely sentient president of the United States, we next go to Joe Biden and his take on January 6th. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you've been injured in an accident and need cash now before your case settles, Oasis Financial can help. Last month, Oasis helped over 3,000 people. Why not you? If you have an attorney, dial #250 on your mobile device right now and speak the keyword apply today. It takes just 3 minutes to apply, and once you're approved, get $500 to $100,000 of your settlement in as little as 24 hours with no risk to you. That's right, get $500 to $100,000 within 1 day. If you lose your case, you don't have to pay Oasis back, ever. So dial #250 now and say the keyword apply today. That's #250 and say the keyword apply today.
Better days start today. Get the cash you need.
Just dial #250 now and say the keyword, apply today. Oasis is currently not providing legal funding in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, North Dakota, or West Virginia.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
With existing clients, I would much rather go to dinner with somebody than do a Zoom call.
But that's with an existing client, but I'm, quote, prospecting, spending 4 hours with somebody you don't know. Like if somebody called me and said, hey, you want to spend 4 hours with me on a golf course so I can consistently pitch you or get to know you?
Joke would be on them. 4 hours with you golfing is pretty much the worst thing imaginable.
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Biden, hard to get him animated about anything because, frankly, he's inanimate. But he did get up enough energy to yell and scream at the moon about January 6th. So, President Biden takes to the podium, and most of this speech was just about how bad Trump is. Right? Trump is very bad, and bad is Trump, and Trump is bad. Okay, but that would not in any real way be about January 6th, because January 6th was about more than Trump. Right, the activities that Trump involved himself in from November 4th to January 6th, in which he denied the election, in which he suggested that the election was completely the result of electoral fraud, that he had outright won more votes in places like Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Right, all of that was bad behavior. That was malfeasance. It was not true. Right, there was certainly some electoral fraud because in a country with 155 million voters, there will be some electoral fraud. There was certainly corruption when it came to some of the election rules. Many states embraced rules that were completely out of the box originally because of COVID, but then as it became clear that you could vote without really risking your own health, it was not because of COVID anymore. So when Pennsylvania decided to overrule its own constitution and simply put in place a bunch of full-scale absentee balloting, well, that was a violation of law, even if the Pennsylvania Supreme Court didn't call it that way. But Trump had every opportunity to challenge that stuff in court. He brought some 80 lawsuits. I believe all but one ended up being struck down. Even the one that wasn't struck down ended up being overruled at a certain point. He didn't even make most of the allegations in court that he made publicly. But that's not what Biden is talking about. What Biden is saying is that Trump is responsible for the destruction of democracy. That's on Trump, and mostly it's on everyone who disagrees with Joe Biden. You have to give Joe Biden your full faith because he's standing in the face of a full-scale assault on democracy that continues to this very day. Because here's the thing. Trump left office. He's no longer president. January 6th happened over a year ago. So the notion that we are all just waiting for Joe Biden to save us from the grave threat of Trump, I'm not sure who he's talking to other than his base. But being very, very angry about Trump and then suggesting the entire Republican Party is going to overthrow elections when it was the Republican Party, by the way, that certified the 2020 election. Remember, never forget, it was Mike Pence who certified the election. That was the guy who was the incumbent vice president. It was Senator Mitch McConnell who oversaw the certification of election results. It was Republican secretaries of state like Brad Raffensperger in Georgia and Republican governors in Arizona. It was a bunch of Republican state legislatures that certified these votes. And so we were not close to a coup. We were not close to an overthrow of American democracy. And so that kind of gives the lie to everything that Biden is saying. But Biden has to gin up the outrage. He has to gin up the rage, because if he does not gin that stuff up, he's got nothing. It is all January 6th or bust for Joe Biden at this point. He's riding at 40% in the approval ratings, and 2022 is going to hit him like a tsunami. So he steps up to the microphone and he gets animated for the first time in his presidency. This is the first time he has looked alive for at least a year. Joe Biden has been wandering around in a stupefied zombie state as though under the influence of opiates for nearly his entire presidency. He looks as though he's constantly falling asleep, but not yesterday. Yesterday, he actually looked mildly alive. It was strange. He kind of looked like he was – the only time that Joe Biden looks alive is when he can yell about Trump. So that's what he did yesterday. And you're all supposed to give him power and pretend that he's not a bad president because Trump. So he began by suggesting that the January 6th was – a grave assault on democracy that nearly ended the 230-odd-year experiment of the United States, which, of course, is ridiculous and silly on its face.
State the obvious. 1 year ago today, in this sacred place, democracy was attacked. Simply attacked. The will of the people was under assault. The Constitution, our Constitution, faced the gravest of threats.
Well, wait, so the gravest of threats was, just to get this straight, a couple of hundred idiots trespassing, yelling, breaking windows, and committing criminal acts against police officers in the Capitol, being cleared out within 3 hours, and then the certification taking place. If our Constitution and our liberty is that fragile, then the problem ain't Donald Trump. The problem is our institutions. But here's the thing. It isn't that fragile. It isn't remotely close to that fragile. There are a bunch of people in the Oval Office who were passing around dumb memos about what Mike Pence could do to stop the election. None of it was true, and so none of it was effectuated. End of story. This was not a grave threat to democracy. You know, there are other countries where there are grave threats to democracy. Those threats usually include things like disbanding the legislature by the executive branch. Those things usually include military occupations of capitals. Those things usually include laws passed by legislatures that grant ultimate power to the executive branch, essentially removing the legislature from the purview of the entire process. Those things include stacking the Supreme Court or getting rid of the Supreme Court. Look at countries all over the world where democracy has fallen. It includes actual changes to institutions. It does not include a couple of hundred rowdies going into a place and being cleared out by the cops. That's called, like, most political events that are bad in the United States. Like, that's been happening for quite a while. Okay, so that, again, that is not to downplay the evils of January 6th or the people who committed crimes. That is not to downplay Trump's lies from November 4th to January 6th and some of the stuff that he says today. What it is to say is that if you are saying that we were, like, this far away from democracy falling in the United States on January 6th, I don't know what to tell you, you're a moron. You're stupid. If you actually believe that we were this close to democracy falling completely on January 6th, that you're a motivated believer or an idiot. You want to believe it, or you're just dumb and you're taken in. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden asks us to take a journey of imagination with him. Yeah, it's frightening. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This is Tet Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Only be opened by Hunter Biden. And then finally, you move over here, and here is the January 6th box. When you open it, it's all passion. It's passion and joy and excitement and imagination. So we are about to open that box with Joe Biden.
Close your eyes. Go back to that day. What do you see? Rioters rampaging, waving for the first time inside this Capitol, Confederate flag that symbolized the cause to destroy America, to rip us apart. Even during the Civil War, that never, ever happened. But it happened here in 2021.
Is he now suggesting that this was, like, worse than the Civil War? Right, there was a Confederate flag in the Capitol building. That never even happened during the Civil War. Well, I mean, 600,000 Americans did die during the Civil War, so there was that. And there was a massive battlefront that ranged all the way from, like, Texas to Washington, D.C. So, I mean, I feel like that was worse. But there was one moron carrying a Confederate flag in the Capitol building, so I guess we're all supposed to – I guess that's the same, sort of. By the way, I love that he's like – The Capitol, you know, the fact that there was a Confederate flag in the Capitol building, that's never happened, even in the Civil War. Until 5 seconds ago, there was a statue of Jefferson Davis in Statuary Hall where he is speaking right now. They removed it last year. They removed it in 2021. Right, so, what? Okay, but it's just that idiot waving the Confederate flag in Statuary Hall. Well, that means that the Republic was this close to falling. Because of helmet horn guy, because of the Wagnerian opera helmet guy. Again, then he talks about the assaults on police officers, and this kind of stuff really gets my goat. It really does. You can't spend years, literally years, ripping on the police as systemically racist enforcers of the patriarchal institutions of the United States, seeking to criminalize blackness. The new Jim Crow, as Michelle Alexander puts it, you can't say that police all across the country are emissaries of evil, but then when it suits your purposes, they become heroes again. That's not the way any of that crap works. The people who assault police officers across the board should go to jail. I feel that way. Democrats don't. But here is Joe Biden, all of a sudden, a friend of the police.
A crowd that professes their love for law enforcement assaulted those police officers, dragged them, sprayed them, stomped on them. Over 140 police officers were injured.
Can you muster this kind of rage for the 2,000 police officers plus who were injured during the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020? Nope. Can you muster any of that outrage for the police officers who have been wrongly castigated by the press over the course of the last 7 years? Because remember, this really started in 2014 with the Ferguson riots. That's really when this started. So going back years and years and years, the Democrats have been wildly anti-police. The attempt now to retcon this into, oh, we found one event where some people who are allied with the right or felt they were on the right, where those people assaulted police officers, therefore the police are now good. I bring forth the hero police officers. It really is an astonishing thing. It is. Like, they just assume that we have no common sense or memory, that we have, like, the memory of a guppy. He continued along these lines.
Police were assaulted. Lives at risk. The nation's capital under siege. This wasn't a group of tourists. This was an armed insurrection.
Okay, so for there to be an armed insurrection, usually people need to be armed. Like, just, this is a general rule. They need to be armed, right? In the term armed insurrection, there needs to be both an insurrection and there needs to be people who are armed. So far as I'm aware, there's not been a single criminal charge brought against people who went into the Capitol building. It's not to say that people weren't being violent. They were. Armed usually implies that you are armed with, you know, like an actual gun. Armed with actual dangerous weaponry. I'm not aware that any of the charging documents include a single firearm. If you're going to do an armed insurrection, typically you want to bring a firearm because that's usually the weapon you used in an armed insurrection. Second, an insurrection usually requires an element of planning. Like, if you're going to plan an insurrection, you actually have to plan the insurrection. Typically, it's not just a bunch of people who get pissed off and go into a building and do damage to it. That's not an insurrection. Okay, so if you don't believe that Black Lives Matter burning storefronts in 2020 was an insurrection, then you really should not believe that this was an insurrection. So it was not an armed insurrection. It was a riot. There is a difference. Okay, riots are bad, too. People who riot should go to jail. Armed insurrection is a different thing. When he says armed insurrection, what he means is that his political enemies planned to violate the government. They planned to overthrow the government of the United States. Therefore, I deserve all power. Wartime power. This is something that Democrats routinely invoke. Wartime. There's a war on poverty. War on climate change. There's a war on whatever they say. War on income inequality. War on racism. And there's always a war. Why? Why do Democrats use that language? I mean, aren't they pacifists? The reason they use the language of war is because during wars, you get to invoke wartime powers. And when you invoke authoritarian powers, you get to do whatever the hell you want. So when you say there's an armed insurrection, the natural consequence of that is I need to be empowered in order to stomp out armed insurrections. I need wartime powers, which is exactly what Joe Biden wants. I have to point out one more thing with regard to his rhetoric on police officers. It really is astonishing. So a little bit later on in the speech, he talks about mourning police officers with Jill in the Capitol Rotunda. And here's what he had to say.
Jill and I have mourned police officers in this Capitol Rotunda not once but twice in the wake of January 6th. Once to honor Officer Brian Sicknick, who lost his life the day after the attack, and a second time to honor Officer Billy Evans, who lost his life defending this Capitol as well.
This is such a peculiar move that he's making right now. This is such a peculiar move. So first, Officer Brian Sicknick was not actually killed at the January 6th riot. Right? Originally, it was reported that he was struck in the head with a fire extinguisher, and then he died as a result of those injuries. That turned out not to be true. It turns out that he died as a result of presumably a heart attack, and he died after January 6th. But put that one aside, because maybe you could make the medical case that the stress of January 6th induced the heart attack or something. The other guy he mentions there, Officer Billy Evans. Billy Evans died as a result of an attack at the Capitol building that had nothing to do with January 6th. So lumping the two of them in as though they are both results of January 6th is crazy. Do you remember the death of Officer Billy Evans? I do. It didn't become a national issue because the way that the media determined whether a crime story is a national issue or not is by determining whether the victimizer is a person with whom they are politically allied in some sense. If the person is a political enemy, it's a national story. If the person could theoretically be conceived of as a political ally, it's not a national story, it's a local crime story. So Sicknick's death was a national story because January 6th was super duper duper terrible, but Officer Billy Evans' death was not a national story. The reason, by the way, that Joe Biden went to the rotunda for Officer Billy Evans specifically is because he wanted to create the presumption that he was going to do this for all officers. It wasn't just officers who died in the line of duty with some relation to his political enemies. But lumping them in together does precisely the reverse. He's now suggesting that Billy Evans died as a result of January 6th. That's not what happened. Here is the actual story. Billy Evans died in April. He died in April of 2021 when he was struck by a car. Who exactly was driving that car? A 25-year-old black nationalist who espoused viewpoints consummate with the Nation of Islam. So, what? Why is he being lumped into this? What does he have to do with January 6th? He doesn't. He has nothing to do with January 6th. But if you can, I mean, they're just willing to do anything. They're willing to lump anyone together they have to do in order to get where they want to go. It really is pretty incredible. Then Joe Biden got to his real point. His real point is that everyone who disagrees with him politically is complicit in January 6th. So he says, sure, there are some courageous men and women in the Republican Party who stood up to Donald Trump. And here's Liz Cheney and here's Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney showed up at the Capitol building yesterday to support his daughter, Liz. And suddenly Democrats love him. And whenever you are being treated with, quote unquote, strange new respect, you should have a second thought. You might think, why are all these people who hate everything about me? They literally made a movie about the evils of Dick Cheney called Vice by Adam McKay, who is one of the most overrated filmmakers in Hollywood.
Well, some courageous men and women in the Republican Party are standing against it, trying to uphold the principle of that party. Too many others are transforming that party into something else. They seem no longer to want to be the party of Lincoln, Eisenhower, Reagan, the Bushes.
Okay, can we stop pretending that these people loved the party of Lincoln, Reagan, Eisenhower, and the Bushes? They hated all those people. I mean, George W. Bush was Bush Hitler. George W. Bush was a warmonger who led us into a Bush lied, people died. Right? I mean, it is so tiresome. It is so tiresome to hear Democrats proclaim the virtues of people they hated until 30 seconds ago when those people became much more convenient to them. And I will say, I'll say this about Dick Cheney or the Bushes. I have a lot of fondness for some of these people from the Bush administration. I do, because I remember defending a lot of their actions during the Bush administration. Okay, but if you spend your entire post-political career saying nothing when Democrats run roughshod across everything that you held dear, and then you can only be found to speak to a camera as soon as something bad happens from the Republican side of the aisle, I have some questions. Consistency, folks. A little bit of consistency. If you couldn't be found anywhere during the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020, if you couldn't be found anywhere during the Russia collusion stuff, if you couldn't be found anywhere while the Democrats are trying to ram through authoritarian COVID measures, you can't be found anywhere defending many of the people who supported you, but you can be dredged up in order to do a January 6th extravaganza on behalf of Nancy Pelosi and the cast of Hamilton, I have some questions about the people you're hanging out with in your priorities. Really, I may agree with some of the stuff that you even say, but I have some real questions about your sense of loyalty to the people who got you where you are. Okay, Joe, put that aside. Joe Biden continues, and then he gets into, again, the double standards here are just, they are mind-boggling. And they're maddening. They're maddening. So Joe Biden starts talking about the higher standards of America that he supposedly holds. And every line here, it's like, buy yourself a mirror, Joe. Please, for the love of God, look in a mirror. Get your party a damned mirror, sir. Here we go.
Are we going to be a nation that accepts political violence as a norm? Are we going to be a nation where we allow partisan election officials to overturn the legally expressed will of the people? Are we going to be a nation that lives not by the light of the truth, but in the shadow of lies? We cannot allow ourselves to be that kind of nation.
Okay, so I have many, many many questions for the Democratic Party. Are we going to be a nation that accepts political violence as a norm? Says Joe Biden. Oh, I don't know. Did your vice president literally attempt to bail out rioters a year ago? I feel like that happened because I was there. That was a year and a half ago. Where were you during the Black Lives Matter riots? Joe Biden accepts political violence as a norm. And honest to God, these people, it's unbelievable. They just are going to 1984 your memories out of existence. They're just going to memory hole all this crap until now, until January 6th. Did you know there had been no acceptance of political violence as a norm? Did you know that didn't exist? It was only Trump. It wasn't Maxine Waters saying you should get up in people's faces or calling the L.A. riots the L.A. uprising. 1994. It wasn't Democrats poo-pooing massive rioting across the country in 2020 saying it was mostly peaceful. It wasn't Democrats ignoring the violence in Portland that went on for months and months and months. And when Donald Trump sent federal troops in to try and stop that by protecting federal buildings, they called him a fascist. I remember that stuff because I'm not an idiot. I have a functional brain. But some of these people apparently think that they can just get away with saying that the only people who have normed political violence are people on the right. It's crazy. And it's wild. And then he said, are we going to be a nation where we allow partisan election officials to overturn the legally expressed will of, I don't know. Didn't you guys claim that Stacey Abrams is still the governor of Georgia? Aren't you currently engaged in redistricting that is far more beneficial to Democrats than Republican redistricting has been to Republicans? Are we going to be a nation that lives not by the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies? Okay, I have no words for this. From the Biden administration, which lies as a matter of routine, they do it over and Afghanistan was a months-long lie from, don't worry, the government won't collapse, it'll be fine, to, we always knew the government was going to collapse, and it'll still be fine, to, we're not allying in any way with, like, to Al-Qaeda is gone from the country, to, don't worry, our soldiers are safe, to, don't worry, we're evacuating people in the most brilliant evacuation since Dunkirk. All they do is lie. Shadow of lies, my ass. We can't allow ourselves to be that kind of nation. Too late. You made it happen, Joe Biden. You've been in office since 1831. And then he gets to the same point as Kamala Harris. It just takes him longer to get there. His new point is you have to let us completely rewrite election law in the United States in order to save democracy. We have to wreck democracy by federalizing all election procedure under the auspices of people Joe Biden likes.
Right now, in state after state, new laws are being written, not to protect the vote, but to deny it. Not only to suppress the vote, but to subvert it. Not to strengthen and protect our democracy, but because the former president lost, instead of looking at the election results from 2020 and saying they need new ideas or better ideas to win more votes, the former president and his supporters have decided the only way for them to win is to suppress your vote and subvert our elections. It's wrong. It's undemocratic. And frankly, it's un-American.
Okay, I mean, this is the same shtick that this schmuck was trotting out with regard to the Georgia law, which he called a new form of Jim Crow. So no, I don't believe you. I also don't believe that you care very much about election integrity when you spend literally a year talking about how all of the emergency protocols taken during COVID ought to be made the new normal. We ought to be sending absentee ballots to every household in the nation. We ought to be having Democratic employees engaged in ballot harvesting, going door to door to Democratic registered voters and picking up their ballots. We have to get rid of voter ID everywhere across the country. We have to federalize all election procedures that states have no say in it whatsoever. You know, I don't believe that you care about election integrity. I believe that you want to rig the rules because you do. I mean, the Democrats won't even get together with the Republicans to reform the Electoral Count Act. If you are worried about people, quote unquote, stealing federal elections, the Electoral Count Act, which led to the vagary of some people wrongly believing that the vice president and that the Congress had the ability to throw out state certified votes. If you believe that that's a problem, then there have been a bunch of Republicans, including mainstream right wing Republicans, who have called for a revision of the Electoral Count Act to clarify how that procedure works. You know what Democrats have done? They said, not enough. We're not going to do it. We're not going to revise the Electoral Count Act because you don't care. You don't care. What you really care about is rigging the rules for yourself. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let me ask you a quick question. What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing you did every minute of the day? And no, I'm not talking about God or Santa Claus. Instead, I'm talking about your internet service provider, which is keeping track of everything you do all the time. Well, not for me. I'm using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers, so your internet provider cannot see or log what you do online. Now, a lot of you might be wondering, well, hold up. If I'm routing all my data through a VPN, doesn't that mean the VPN can see what I'm doing? Well, good question, but many VPNs, which claim to have no log policies, actually do log your data, not ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the only VPN I trust because they use trusted server technology. They were the first major VPN provider to engineer all of their VPN servers to run in RAM, which makes it absolutely impossible for their VPN servers to store any data, including logs of any ExpressVPN customer. And you don't have to take my or ExpressVPN's word for it. ExpressVPN is so confident in their no logs claim, they even had one of the biggest assurance firms PwC, that's PricewaterhouseCoopers, audit their technology. Stop letting people keep logs of what you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben right now. Find out how you can get 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden informs us that he knows how difficult democracy is, which is why you should just let him stop with all the democracy stuff and let him do what he wants, guys. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
After 30 years as a USA swimming official, Cynthia Mylan resigned in protest over the University of Pennsylvania allowing a biological male to compete on the university women's swimming team. Keep up to date on PJI's efforts to protect freedom. Visit PJI.org.
Learn more about PJI's matching gift program at PJI.org.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24-7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the President of the United States, Joe Biden, he says he knows how difficult democracy is, and he is going to stand like a hero at the doorway, preventing the dagger of democracy, the dagger of tyranny from entering the throat of democracy or some such. And then he's going to go to sleep after Matlock, of course.
Believe me.
No.
I know how difficult democracy is.
I don't believe you.
And I'm crystal clear about the threats America faces. But I also know that our darkest days can lead to light and hope. From the death and destruction, as the Vice President referenced in Pearl Harbor, came the triumph over the forces of fascism. From the brutality of Bloody Sunday and the Edmund Pettus Bridge came historic voting rights legislation. So now let's step up. Write the next chapter in American history. Where January 6th marks not the end of democracy, but the beginning of a renaissance of liberty and fair play. I did not seek this fight brought to this Capitol 1 year ago today, but I will not shrink from it either. I will stand in this breach. I will defend this nation. I will allow no one to place a dagger at the throat of democracy.
I won't do that. Okay, so he's really comparing January 6th to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. You mean, you know, like a protest that the literal authorities sicked dogs on people who were protesting a century of Jim Crow? That's the same thing as January 6th? Or comparing it to Pearl Harbor? Because it's just like Pearl Harbor when 2,300 Americans died. Or alternatively, you just want what you want, and this is your excuse. My favorite part of this is that Joe Biden was asked after his ridiculous speech about why he had not used Donald Trump's name, right? He kept avoiding Trump's name. He kept saying the former president this and the former president that. His answer is just, it's one for the ages. Here was Joe Biden's answer to that question.
It's not about whether I'm president or she's vice president. It's about the system and about somebody who decides to put himself above everything. And but I did not want to turn it into a contemporary political battle between me and the president. It's way beyond that.
He didn't want to turn it into a contemporary political battle. Really, that is literally the only thing that they are doing yesterday. It's the whole point of the exercise is to turn it into a contemporary political battle. That's why you do a memorial for January 6th. That's why you do all these commemorative editions, CNN specials, and all of this kind of stuff. That's why you do it. The whole point of it is this. You know what the real point of this is? The real point is that non-farm job estimates came in 200,000 jobs below what they were supposed to this month. That's the real story. Okay, the actual Democratic, the December jobs report came in adding 199,000 jobs against expectations of 422,000 jobs. That's the real story under Joe Biden, not that he's standing preventing the dagger from entering the throat of democracy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Supreme Court began hearing arguments Friday on major Biden administration work rules to bump up the nation's vaccination rate. Justice Elena Kagan says the OSHA mandate is badly needed.
The agency has done everything but stand on its head to show quite clearly that no other policy will prevent sickness and death to anywhere like the degree this one will.
But National Federation of Independent Business attorney Scott Keller says the mandate would devastate the workforce.
As soon as businesses have to put out their plans and this takes effect, workers will quit. That itself will be a permanent worker displacement that will ripple through the national economy.
Also at townhall.com, nurses at a Massachusetts hospital have voted to ratify a new 4-year contract with management that ends what their union is calling the longest nurses' strike in state history.
The tentative agreement between about 700 nurses at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester and hospital owner Dallas-based Tenet Healthcare was announced on December 17th after an all-day bargaining session. The strike started about 10 months ago. The deal includes staffing improvements, pay and health insurance boosts, and gives striking nurses the right to return to their old jobs.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. An explosion in an office cafeteria in China has killed at least 16 people. A gas leak is the suspected cause. Mexican police in Veracruz say they have found 9 bodies on a roadside in what appears to be a strictly gang-related incident. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
A teenager charged with killing four students at their high school in Michigan has waived a key court hearing. That decision means that Ethan Crumbly's case moves straight to a trial court in suburban Detroit. Prosecutors in Michigan typically must present at least some kind of evidence to show there's probable cause to send people to trial on felony charges. Winter storm that hit the south now bearing down on the northeast. National Weather Service meteorologist Tony Fracasso.
Some locations actually received close to 10 or 11 inches through central Connecticut and eastern Connecticut, and then Boston to Providence. Some reports seen anywhere from 6 to 10 inches.
One of Hollywood's very best is gone. Sidney Poitier dead at the age of 94. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
It was an appalling abuse of power once again yesterday. And what may be the only thing that is more appalling in all of this is our phony, baloney, corrupt news media and the clowns that call themselves reporters. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, let me tell you. I'm sure you caught a lot of it. We were playing audio yesterday. We were on the air while Joe Biden and, well, Kamala was comparing January 6th, where Ashley Babbitt was shot to death by a U.S. Capitol Police officer, and it's September 11th. It's Pearl Harbor. Thousands were killed, of course, at both September 11th and Pearl Harbor. We were cast into war maybe in both instances. Maybe, you know, maybe the Democrats are, you know, they brought us the last Civil War. It's impossible to say what their long-term plans are, but I suspect that they really want to win the midterm elections and hold on to power. You know, it's about power for them. So they put on a show, and that was the crypt keeper there, Nancy Pelosi. And honestly, they had showbiz. They brothers, Lin-Manuel, Miranda Broadway guy, who put on that show Hamilton. And yesterday, I think, what do? They have the crew from A Chorus Line, I think, come in. And you see they had a vigil in front of the Capitol on the steps of the Capitol yesterday with candlelight. And they sang God Bless America. They don't know the words. They're the Democrats. They had to have cheat sheets, of course. It's the first time they've ever decided to sing that. It was a ripoff because they're unoriginal in addition to everything else. It was a ripoff of the members of Congress after the September 11th attacks by the troglodytes from hell. September 11th, 2001, you may recall. Or you learned about it in school or something, but the members of Congress went out on the steps of the Capitol and in earnest, in sorrow and sadness, sang God Bless America. Of course, you know, we're just beginning to count the dead from the attacks that would thrust us into war for generations. As opposed to January 6th, where one person was killed, it was deemed a homicide. Because one person killed another person, by the coroner in Washington, D.C., U.S. Capitol Police officers shot and killed an unarmed woman, and the media have been celebrating. They really don't like the police, and they don't like the police shooting people, and they don't like the police shooting unarmed people. They don't like the police shooting unarmed women, but they're willing to make an exception in this case because, you know, all those people deserve to be shot and killed because basically they're fascists, these people. It's quite remarkable. You know, Steny Hoyer, he's the number two guy for the Democrats in the House of Representatives. And he's the second oldest living World War II veteran, isn't he? Just kidding. But he's apparently planning on making moves on Nancy Pelosi, not on Nancy Pelosi, on Nancy Pelosi's job, because Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are going to, of course, lose control of the House of Representatives in the midterm elections later this year. And Nancy Pelosi, it is expected, will leave the Congress rather than stay as the minority leader, because, you know, they don't like minorities, these people. And so Steny Hoyer is trying to make a move, like he'll take over as minority leader when the Democrats lose control of the House and the Senate later this year. Pelosi leaves, and then, of course, Steny Hoyer wants to become the leader of his party, even if in the minority, when Nancy Pelosi leaves, because she couldn't stand being in the minority after all this power, and she gets the giant cartoon gavel too. But Steny Hoyer, he's got a big idea. It's in the Washington Post today, and he wrote a piece about it too. He wants to January 6th and make it a national annual event in the United States because it's the only time Republicans ever rioted. And these guys riot. I think they're rioting right now. They're probably burning banks and overturning police cars somewhere in America right now. Maybe shooting at police now. But Steny Hoyer wants to have us fly the flags at half staff all over the country every January 6th because the Democrats really know how to make hay out of political peanuts. It's remarkable. And I was reading the editor-in-chief of USA Today today wrote a piece where she goes on and on using all kinds of weasel words about how people died on January 6th and in the days and weeks following. And Nancy Pelosi has to fly the flags at half staff around the country every January 6th, not September 11th. Say that's not something he's proposed. Not December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. We don't fly the flags at half staff for that. But on the day, I guess, to honor Ashley Babbitt. That would be quite an honor for Ashley Babbitt and her family, since she was the only person killed that day. At the Capitol, and also they had, you see this thing that Nancy Pelosi, they put out, I don't know, Michael, if you have the audio on this, of Nancy Pelosi saying that honoring the heroes of January 6th. Did you see the honoring the heroes of January 6th thing? And Nancy Pelosi, because she really knows how to honor a hero, And that's why they had the musical crew down there from Hamilton. And they put on, and it was something that they produced for other events. It was just kind of an off-the-shelf little musical thing by the cast of Hamilton. And they sang a little song, and I think it was like, one singular sensation, every little thing we make, something like that. And I don't really do musicals. And they, but whatever it was, maybe it was Liza Doolittle or something, but amazing they put on a little musical thing. And they could, yeah, they should turn January 6th into a musical, into a Broadway show. We were talking about this, Michael Piercy and I were talking about this yesterday when we saw that they were putting on a musical show on Capitol Hill, that they should turn January, and they probably will. And I'm going to guess that January 6th will become a musical and a movie. There are already documentary films about it. Very one-sided, very lopsided. Tucker Carlson's documentary is vitally important if you're going to be well-informed on the topic. And the Democrats, and that includes the media, they don't actually cover this this thing at all. But the yesterday was truly an embarrassment. But I want, when they have the musical, January 6th, the musical, I want one of the T-shirts, I think, don't you think? They should have hats and T-shirts. They're going to have a merchandise store for all of that. Yeah, the Nancy Pelosi yesterday paused because it was very important to honor the heroes, of January 6th. And in doing so, you see there was, the Recount published an item on this. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi holds a moment of silence for, quote, fallen heroes, end quote, of 1-6. That's January 6th. Reading the names of police officers, Brian Sicknick, Howard Liebengood, Jeffrey Smith, and Billy Evans. And here's the Speaker of the entire House of Representatives, Krusty McKrusty, and they wrote, the only Republicans participating in the House of Representatives, phony, baloney, theatrical moment of silence. And I want to explain it to you because these officers are, in fact, no longer with us, tragically, in four separate instances. But I want to explain this to you. Here's Nanny Pelosi yesterday.
I want to acknowledge our fallen heroes of that day.
Police.
U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick.
Of that day.
U.S. Capitol Police Officer Howard Liebengood. Metropolitan Officer Jeffrey Smith. U.S. Capitol Police Officer Billy Evans of a later assault.
Of a later assault. See how she's such a snake, such a weasel, such a Soviet liar. She's a pathological, psychopathological liar. Now, let me explain what she's talking about here. Officer Brian Sicknick, we've spoken about a lot. He was there on the day of the riot, and he was jostled, and the next day, and he was involved in physical conflict, and the next day he died of a stroke at a nearby hospital, and it's tragic. And he was in his 40s, and everybody loved the guy, and he was supposed to be a great guy, and he was a career police officer in the military, and everybody loved the guy, and he's a Trump supporter. And it was very tragic that that Brian Sicknick died on January 7th of a stroke. Remember, they made up stories, the Democrats and the media, about his being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher, and that was all a lie. They lied about it for months, and it was a lie. And it's tragic. Would he have died the next day of a stroke had it not been for the riots? Couldn't know one way or the other for sure. Then there was a U.S. Capitol Police officer, Howard Liebengood. Howard Liebengood committed suicide on January 9th. That's 3 days after the riots. Then there's Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department officer Jeffrey Smith. And his friend said his behavior changed after January 6th. He committed suicide on January 15th. So the riots on January 6th. Brian Sicknick died of a stroke on January 7th. Two police officers, Howard Liebengood, suicide January 9th. Jeffrey Smith died of suicide January 15th. Now, you got to keep in mind that police officers have one of the highest, if not the highest, suicide rate of any profession in the United States. And I'm all for counting these if you'd like to do that. But let's go across the country, shall we, and look at all the suicides in police departments where the Democrats were launching riots and they were looting and committing arson. And, retired police officer David Dorn was shot and killed by Democrat Party looters in St. Louis. His death was live-streamed on video on the Internet. And, of course, just recently in California, just weeks ago, Officer Kevin Nishida, retired police officer, recently retired police officer, working security with a local TV station in San Francisco in the Bay Area, was shot and killed by Democrat Party looters there. Those were murders, you see. Those were shot and killed murders. And those are only two of the dozens of people that were murdered in the Democrat Party riots going on from coast to coast for well over a year. Now, let me get to the most important one here, because she named Officer Billy Evans, and the way she said it, who died at a later date, she intimated, she suggested that the cause of death was related to the January 6th riots. She's suggesting, of course, and again, if you want to say that Officer Howard Liebengood, tragic suicide January 9th, Officer Jeffrey Smith, D.C. Metropolitan Police, tragic suicide January 15th, 9 days later, and they're saying those deaths are directly attributable to the riot on January 6th. That's what she's saying, okay? And she's a psychopath, and she is using this as an opportunity to tear the country apart. And since when do you guys care about the police? You're the defund the police. The police are all racist. The police are all horrible. It's the fault of the police. Criminals are the heroes. The usual stuff. But let me get to Billy Evans, because this is the most important one of all. That she named Billy Evans and said that he died at a later date. He did die nearly 3 months later on April 2nd of 2021. Again, that's January 6th. Okay, that's January, February, March, April. On April 2nd, Officer Billy Evans, an 18-year veteran of the U.S. Capitol Police, was murdered at the Capitol by a black racist nationalist Nation of Islam suicide attacker named Noah Green, 25 years old, who went over to a nearby market and bought a giant knife and then came over to the Capitol in his car, and he crashed into two police officers in his car because he wanted to, in a suicide attack, murder police officers. All right. And again, Nation of Islam, not a Trump supporter, not a MAGA warrior. And the only police officer that was actually murdered in this lineup that she listed was murdered by a black racist Nation of Islam anti-cop leftist. Okay. Months later. And she named him as one of the heroes of January 6th. Okay. That's what she said. She's using his tragic murder by a black racist nationalist Nation of Islam suicide attacker, one of many Democrat Party suicide attackers, just by the way, in the last several years, most of them attacking police officers and murdering police officers. By the way, a black guy from Maryland, Ishmael Brinsley, convert to Islam, a Nation of Islam guy, went up to New York and New York City and murdered officers Ramos and Liu, Asian and Hispanic, in their car, and then went to a nearby subway stop and shot himself in the head, a suicide attack. There was Micah Xavier Johnson, who attacked police at a Black Lives Matter rally in Dallas, Texas, murdering five, again, affiliated with black nationalist and black militant groups online. And that was suicide by police. Another suicide by police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Another African-American guy murdering police officers, three of them there, suicide by police. Then, of course, there's the white guy, James Hodgkinson, who shot Congressman Steve Scalise in another suicide attack by a Bernie Sanders volunteer. We should fly the flags at half-staff almost every day, based on this stuff here. But that's cynically and viciously using the murder of Billy Evans by pretending it was related to January 6th. The only person actually shot and killed that day was a 14-year Air Force veteran, an unarmed woman named Ashley Babbitt. Now, if Steny Hoyer would like to fly the flags at half-staff every year for Ashley Babbitt, he should go ahead and propose that.
U.S. Capitol Police Officer Billy Evans of a later assault.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
If you're tired of big cable bills and want to cut the cord, you can still get Newsmax TV for free. Millions of Americans like you are watching Newsmax. It's available on all major cable systems, or get it free on major streaming platforms. Watch Newsmax on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and more. Find Newsmax on your Hub Guide or use the TV app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, TiVo, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. More than 7 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphones. There's no paywall or subscription, so watch Newsmax anytime, anywhere. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. And watch great shows with Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Rob Schmidt, Diamond and Silk, Stinchfield, and a lot more. Find out why America is tuning in to Newsmax TV, the fastest-growing cable news channel. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Why does Walgreens offer copays as low as $0 and 90-day refills? Because we care about Medicare, so you don't have to. I mean, do you really care to hear me go on about prescription delivery options making your life easier? Or how there's a pharmacy expert available 24/7 and one-click refills? Well, I just did anyways. Fill your Medicare prescriptions with Walgreens and save.
$0 copays apply to Tier 1 generic drugs and select plans with Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Restrictions apply. See Walgreens.com/Medicare for complete details.
On our first date, we had masks on and kept 6 feet apart. Now, we're a lot closer.
Just like Cliff and Deb, thousands of singles over 50 found their perfect match on Silver Singles last year.
I feel like I'm 20 years old again, and I'm pretty sure she feels the same way.
Rediscover the magic of dating with Silver Singles, the exclusive community for singles over 50. Sign up today and receive daily matches you won't want to miss at silversingles.com/radio. silversingles.com/radio.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
And we're back with Limu, Emu, and Doug for the final question. Category is things you climb.
All right, Limu, what do you think? You sure? We're going with Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Oh, so close. We were looking for stairs.
Huh. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty.
More than one in three people will face cancer in their lifetime. Unfortunately, fear can stop you from getting your cancer screening, but it won't stop cancer. Early detection can save your life. Don't wait for symptoms to appear to act. Cancer screening is safe, effective, and accessible for everyone, including free or low-cost screening programs. Go to cancerscreeninfo.com right now for free screening resources and recommendations from the American Cancer Society. Don't wait. Early detection can save your life. Go to cancerscreeninfo.com today. cancerscreeninfo.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Democrats are—they're not going to let go of this one. They're a dog with, a crack-filled bone, like Hunter Biden finding a free bag of crack. That's what this thing is like to them. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to John, calling from Prince William County, Virginia. John, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hello, you know, we're born in the same. We're
Hello,
born in the
John.
Same week. Hello, do you hear me?
Yeah, now I got you.
Me and you were born in the same first week in November, 1960.
December for me, December 12th.
You're just a couple days after me.
Yeah, okay.
Me and you many times. I'm the Confederate Civil War reenactor.
Uh-huh.
And my DIA, CIA, CIDG.
Uh-huh.
We talked about Uganda and Cubans, didn't we?
Uh-huh. Okay.
And my son just finished 2-year term on the Abraham Lincoln SSBM.
Very nice. Submarine, very nice. Very nice. Sure. Yeah, ballistic missile sub.
The tubes have 16. They have 16 in the hold. They can reload. They stood off the Persian Gulf just to make sure that everybody behaves.
I'm starting to run out of time on you. I don't want to run out of time on you. I know you want to get to a couple of things.
I thank you for that. I remember your father, S6F Hellcat, came in from the Southern Invasion in August 15th, and we'll let this please have it. Right? They did, right?
Yep.
I'm so by that comment. My parents were both survivors. For 7/90/41, and I'm a survivor from the Pentagon, 911. And don't take January the 6th and tell me. Ask about it, I'll remember. You got to go?
Yeah, your phone's breaking up on us, I'm sorry to say. But yeah, your parents survived Pearl Harbor. You were at the Pentagon on September 11th, so was I. Don't compare it.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Armstrong and Getty, brought to you by Gendera 76 and Auto Service at Cypress and Pacelli, home of the sign, Redding's last full-service service station since 1979.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Here we go!
And flying down the track. At maximum refund speed. File for free with TaxSlayer Simply Free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer, file fearlessly.
COVID-19 has changed everything for the children of the world. Since the earliest days of the pandemic, we've been on the ground providing children food, educational resources, and basics no child should be without. To learn more, visit savethechildren.org/together. This year, join us and make change for children. Visit savethechildren.org/together. Sponsored by Save the Children.
Okay, here's just something, because I like to remind people what actual history is. And one of the great sayings of all time, at least of mine, is the most insidious power the media has is the power to ignore. And if you asked any CNN anchorman or anchorwoman paid millions of dollars a year to follow the news, if you asked them, who is James Hodgkinson? I'll bet you a dollar not a single one of them could answer that. James Hodgkinson was, of course, the Bernie Sanders volunteer who shot Congressman Steve Scalise in an effort to murder him and a baseball diamond filled with Republican members of Congress from the House and the Senate. That was yet another suicide attack by a left-wing lunatic would-be mass murderer. I believe there were five people shot that day. And it was the Democrat socialist Bernie Sanders, you know, it was, of course, a communist, Lee Harvey Oswald, that shot John F. Kennedy in the head that day. And then the Democrats started making up hundreds of alternate scenarios to muddy the waters. I'm convinced that's actually where all that comes from. But in any event, James Hodgkinson, his name has been lost to the sands of time. That was a one-day story with the Washington, New York media axis. And then, of course, there was July 7th, 2016, the Micah Xavier Johnson, who is a black militant, a Democrat, ambushed a group of police officers that were providing protection to a Black Lives Matter rally in Dallas, Texas. And the Democrat Micah Xavier Johnson, in yet another suicide attack, murdered five Dallas police officers, wounded nine more Dallas police officers, and shooting 14 Dallas police officers. Also, two civilians were wounded that day by Johnson, and he was angry, you see, about police shootings of black men. Now, if you look at the statistics, the police shoot more white men and white people every year than they shoot black men and black people. They shoot more unarmed white men every year than they shoot unarmed black men. And that doesn't mean they're not being attacked, by the way, the police. And I've been following the numbers for years now. There are more people in the United States killed in lightning strikes every year than there are black men killed while unarmed by the police. Now, if you're armed, well, then, you know, that's on you, isn't it? So that's just one example of a suicide attack. Again, another suicide attack happened on April 2nd, 2021, at the U.S. Capitol when a radical black nationalist Nation of Islam follower, Noah Green, attacked two police officers using his car, then jumped out with a big knife and was shot to death by the police, and yet another anti-police suicide attack. Now, I think we should fly the flags at half-staff on July 7th every year to commemorate the massacre by Micah Xavier Johnson, a Democrat, of five police officers wounding nine more plus two civilians at a Black Lives Matter rally. Maybe that would be a more appropriate time because, you know, the Democrats don't care about police unless it serves their political interests. And it is tragic that Brian Sicknick died of a stroke the next day, that Jeffrey Smith and Howard Liebengood committed suicide in the days following January 6th. If you want to look at police suicide rates across the country, and if the Democrats would like to pretend that they care about that for a short period of time, that would be welcome, I'm sure. But they don't really want to do that, do they? No, they don't. But it is, you know, January 6th. The Democrats are trying to gin it up into a national holiday because everything is political with them. And if it tears the country to shreds, that makes them extra happy, I think, based on their behavior. That's the only conclusion that I can draw. Let's go to Kamala Harris. Kamala, who, you know, is just an awful example of everything that is wrong with American politics. And she's a dunderhead. She, you see, she did an interview with Judy Driftwood on public broadcasting, on the Panhandler Broadcasting System, where she cackled again about being completely incompetent and so on. Just absolutely amazing. Yeah, you may remember also at the time, and it's my friend Sebastian Gorka and I were talking about this, the day that Congressman Steve Scalise was shot by the would-be political mass murderer James Hodgkins and the Bernie Sanders volunteer and supporter Bernie all over his Facebook page, his Twitter. He met with Bernie Sanders staffers in Bernie Sanders' office on Capitol Hill. And that story was swept under the rug. Now, I mean, that was really a unique event, unlike a riot, which Democrats have made commonplace, that, you know, that they normalized mob street political violence. And then when the other guy does it for a couple of hours, by the way, I was doing the math on this, then it has to become a national holiday or something. But as Sebastian and I were talking about, there was the media was very excited with the one of the U.S. Capitol police officer, Crystal Griner, who was one of the police officers there. I believe she was shot, and she shot James Hodgkins, and one of the officers, U.S. Capitol police officers, that killed the suicide attacker, suicide by police, would-be mass political assassin James Hodgkins, and Bernie Sanders, Democrat. And the news media, the Washington Post and the Democrats, just wanted you to know, not that she was interested in making all this public. She's a black woman, and she's a lesbian, you see. She's LGBTQIIAA. And the news media wanted to focus on that Crystal Griner, African-American woman, is gay. And that's really what they wanted to focus on. That was, she got medals and things, and she did a great job that day. She's a wonderful police officer and a wonderful person, I'm sure. But that's what the media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, wanted to focus on, was the sexual orientation of the female police officer that was one of the police officers to shoot to death the Democrat suicide attacker, one of many Democrat suicide attackers. But I digress once again. Let's go to Kamala. We played this audio yesterday. Moment. Equating January 6th, where technically one person was killed. USA Today uses vague language. Five people died that day. No, two men in their 50s and a crowd of 200,000 died of heart attacks. tragically. One woman tragically died of an accidental drug overdose in the crowd of, again, think of a crowd of 200,000, like a small city of 200,000 people. You get a lot of ambulance calls in a city of 200,000 people. And then, of course, the unarmed woman was shot to death, Ashley Babbitt, by a police officer, and the news media celebrated that. That's the first time ever that the news media celebrated the police shooting an unarmed woman to death in the history of the United States, I think. But they're ginning this up into something real, real big. Here is Kamala Harris.
Fellow Americans, good morning.
Good morning.
Certain dates echo throughout history.
Your birthday?
Including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing.
July 7th.
When our democracy came under assault.
Five police murdered in Dallas.
Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941.
In our selective memory.
September 11th, 2001.
Uh-huh.
And January 6th, 2021.
You know, to equate those three dates is just shows what a house of whoas this city is, and what clowns the Democrat political leadership are. It is beyond disgraceful that should say. But it's not only Pearl Harbor, where nearly 3,000 Americans were killed by the Empire of Japan in a dastardly sneak attack on our naval forces at Pearl Harbor, thrusting us into World War II, where 415,000 Americans died, where my father fought as a Navy fighter pilot. And then, of course, September 11th, I was pulling into the parking lot at the Pentagon when the plane hit the building at the Pentagon on September 11th, and I went back to work in the building the next day, where I breathed the air of the charred human flesh from down the hall and the still-burning jet fuel, which was the predominant odor in my office for months after the attacks of the radical Islamic jihadi troglodytes from hell, thrusting us into a war which is still ongoing today, in which thousands of Americans were killed that day. And then, of course, Ashley Babbitt was shot. Two men died of heart attacks, and one woman died of a tragic accidental drug overdose. The next day, a police officer died of a stroke. In the following weeks, two police officers committed suicide. And then months later, a radical Islamic American convert to Islam, black nationalist Democrat, murdered Officer Billy Evans at the Capitol in April 2nd. And the Democrats have decided to cynically use those tragedies to their political advantage by trying to further polarize an already terribly polarized country. But they're fine with that because, you know, they're the party that brought us the Confederate States of America. Got to keep that in mind. And Jim Crow. And then on MSDNC, they had a guy who used to be a respected presidential historian, Douglas Brinkley, and no relation. And he was on yesterday talking about the tragedy of Ashley Babbitt being shot and killed by police and two men dying of heart attacks and one woman dying of an accidental drug overdose. And he compared it to the Holocaust.
We have film footage of what happened on January 6th. We have proof. Dwight Eisenhower during World War II made sure all the Holocaust camps were filmed. Got the film footage.
So we've got the film footage, you see. He just compared January 6th, where Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed by a police officer, two heart attacks, one drug overdose. The following day, one police officer died of a stroke, to the Holocaust. So Ashley Babbitt's life, her killing, is the equivalent of 6 million Jews being systematically exterminated by the National Socialist German Workers' Party, another socialist workers' party in Europe in the 20th century. And of course, the gypsies and the extermination of homosexuals by the Socialist Workers' Party and, you know, the death camps. And then Eisenhower, it's true, wanted to make sure that combat camera and news camera cameramen got in there to make films of the death camps. And apparently the death camps are nothing compared to Ashley Babbitt's tragic killing on January 6th of last year. That's pretty extraordinary stuff. I mean, this is beyond satire. It really is. It's a phrase that's overused these days because the Democrats keep providing us with so many examples of things that are beyond satire. But to compare Ashley Babbitt being shot and killed by a police officer, I mean, honestly, how does that compare? If you care about police officers, July 7th, 2016, Michael Xavier Johnson murdered 5 police officers, wounded 9 more, and shot 2 civilians in a suicide attack against the police, a war against the police that, by the way, Barack Obama and the Democrats started against the police. They are the anti-police party. Again, another massacre of police in Baton Rouge, another double homicide in a suicide attack, another suicide attack in New York, 2 police officers murdered. Democrats all. An attempted mass political assassination on a baseball field in yet another suicide attack. And maybe we should put all their names together, and, you know, the Democrats could create a scholarship fund in the name of the suicide attackers. And now, honestly, it's Pearl Harbor. It's almost impossible to say without laughing. It's Pearl Harbor, it's September 11th, and it's the Holocaust all rolled into one. Isn't that amazing? Douglas Brinkley here on MSDNC yesterday, you know, not only is it the Holocaust, he's going to roll them in there because Kamala said it, and they all sing from the sheet music.
My worry is, what do we call this and make sure we honor this day, this dark stained day every year? So we've got
to call it every year.
January 6th. I think it is like December 7th, Pearl Harbor. And it is like the 9/11 tragedy. And we also need to not be afraid to call it the Trump insurrection of January 6th.
Yeah, yeah. Now, yeah, you understand that the Democrats have challenged every presidential election in the 21st century that they've lost. Year 2000 challenged, the Democrats challenged it. 2004 they challenged it. 2016 they challenged it. They challenged it in Congress. They challenged it in the courts. They challenged it in the media. And I got it. These people are mentally ill. Douglas Brinkley is mentally ill from what I can tell. I'm not a psychiatrist, but to say with a straight face, as a respected historian, at least one-time respected historian, that this dark stained day must be commemorated every year because Ashley Babbitt was shot by a police officer, is pretty amazing. It's just, oh, our Capitol was violated. Again, I would steer you to the stories that I referenced yesterday and the audio that I played for you yesterday of the 3-day siege that was laid to the White House by Democrats, in which there were more police officers injured than there were injured at the Capitol on July 6th. At least 150 injured in the siege of the White House by the Democrats, where they set historic St. John's Church on fire. They torched the building after covering everything with graffiti, torched the only building in Lafayette Park, Lafayette Square, just across from the Church of the Presidents. They injured more than 150 police. They, in a very orchestrated way, national organizations, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they brought frozen water bottles to assault the police with. They brought bricks. They brought explosive devices, M-80s, which is an eighth of a stick of dynamite, that they were throwing at the police, and they injured more than 150 police. Where are the congressional hearings and the calls for annual commemorations? Honestly, you people are a disgrace to people with brains. You're just appalling people. Nancy Pelosi, and of course, you know, man, just amazing. Lists 4 police officers, 2 suicides, 1 murdered by a Democrat 3 months later. And that's the only one that was murdered. It's just amazing what liars these people are. Absolutely extraordinary. So it's, isn't it, Michael? It's Pearl Harbor and September 11th. And the Holocaust rolled into one, and it must be commemorated every year.
It would be 9/11 times 100.
9/11 times 100? Jesus, that's...
Yes, 91,100.
Basically all the worst parts of the Bible.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, if you feel like you're stuck with a healthcare plan that isn't affordable or you simply don't like it, right now is a great time to switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 or more per month with MediShare, and what's more, They like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. You get access to a massive network of providers and 24/7 telehealth. And MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. It's been around for more than 25 years, and it's more than just affordable healthcare, too. You get to be part of a community of Christians who pray for each other and support each other. But here's why now is the time to make the switch. Join before January 15th, and they'll waive your new member fee. You'll save another $170 right off the bat. Call now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th, so you can save even more. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
We're planning a trip to Spain later this year.
But our Spanish is
pretty bad.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind. Babbel's conversation-based method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive, bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
No matter your learning style or experience level, Babbel has lessons designed for you that will get you speaking quickly and confidently.
I tried learning Spanish before, but I couldn't stick with it until I found Babbel.
There's no easier way to learn another language.
Ahora hablamos español.
He just said, now we speak Spanish.
I can't wait to use our new language skills on our upcoming adventures.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Do your pets have the same energy they used to? Do they have problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or goopy ears? Then your pets need Dinovite.
Dinovite.com.
For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted Dinovite to supplement their pets' diet.
We started Dinovite ants in our first box. We noticed a difference.
Dinovite is an all-natural daily supplement made from whole foods that help support your pet's immune system, digestion, skin, and coat.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Today's commercial pet foods are processed at high temperatures, which bakes out all the essential goodness. These processed foods can lack the essential vitamins, enzymes, and probiotics that contribute to overall good health. Adding a scoop of Dinovite to your pet's food bowl is the answer.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
I have 2 cats and 2 dogs. All 4 of them are on the Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Dinovite.com.
Now, there was an attempted mass murder of members of Congress, again by a Bernie Sanders volunteer, an activist in the Democrat Party. And doing a little research, I went to a Time magazine story, What to Know About Suspected Virginia Shooter, James Hodgkinson. He's suspected and he's a shooter. And Time magazine typed at the time, a top Republican congressional leader, Steve Scalise, and four other people were injured Wednesday when a gunman fired bullets at a baseball field in Virginia. A gunman fired bullets at a baseball field in Virginia, where GOP members of Congress and their staffs were practicing for their annual charity baseball game. It fired at the baseball field. Is that, see how they, this is the actual audio of Bernie Sanders volunteer James Hodgkinson trying to massacre, commit a mass political assassination. And the news media swept it under the rug after a day. Now, Hodgkinson from Illinois, 66 years old, Bernie Sanders fanatic, a Rachel Maddow fanatic also, and he loved the Southern Poverty Law Center, which demonized a Democrat organization that calls people hate groups and leaves out left-wing hate groups because, you know, that's what they do. The left takes it over. Now, here's the thing. Hodgkinson was upset that Trump won last year's presidential election, his brother told the New York Times. See, he was an anti-Republican extremist fanatic terrorist who launched a suicide attack and shot a member of Congress. And I think that's kind of a bigger deal than what happened on Capitol Hill that day. But call me old-fashioned, you know, when you shoot people, actually shoot people. Of course, Ashley Babbitt was shot that day and killed while unarmed by a police officer, by a hero police officer. So he was very upset that Trump won the election. He had gone to Washington, D.C. in the weeks preceding this attempted mass murder to protest against Trump, you see, because that's what Democrats do. He wasn't happy with the way things were going, said his brother. Yeah, I guess that looks kind of true. He complained 10 times to his Republican congressman about how bad Republicans were.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.